much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
Good morning. That's not sexy, that's animal.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ralph Garman ordered up the flame of fire as Full Bounty host Jake Montrose on this Spike TV show, revived in 2013. Matt,
what is the Joe Schmo show?
I saw you on Jeopardy in 2013. How does it feel to be more popular than Bean? I'm sorry, Ralph, I wasn't trying to be mean. Oh, oh, we buy a beer mug, oh, oh. Somebody kill him.
And now.
I like listening to Ralph Garman on the Kevin and Bean Morning Show. Ooh. Ha-do-be-do. Bing, 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 bing,
bing, bing, bing, bing, bing, bing, bing, bing, bing. Our feature presentation.
I feel like we should round up all of the songs listeners have written about this show. Mm-hmm. Because most of them are very hate-filled and funny. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Both. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday. It's the 17th of November.
Which is why the opening is a tribute to our friend Ralph Garman celebrating his birthday today.
Sure.
Happy birthday, Ralph.
I didn't know if, Kevin, you noticed.
Sure.
What a
theme. Crazy.
Involved. There was no mention of that. But, yeah, it was a little tribute to Ralph.
Asshole.
And there's Kevin's. That's not what we're saying.
Hey, welcome back, The Monkey.
Thank you, sir.
How was your weekend?
Great. I love New Orleans.
New Orleans is a good town.
Yeah.
Sure is.
What'd you do that would surprise us in New Orleans? You ate and you drank.
Yes.
And you watched the whip and the nene. What else did you do that would surprise us?
I watched a full Viking reenactment, Bean.
A full Viking reenactment?
Yep.
What? Like, against your will? What happened?
My will.
Please explain.
It was what? You know reenactments, right? Those suck.
Yes.
Okay. But I'm sort of a sucker for enthusiasm.
Right.
So if somebody's enthusiastic enough, mm-hmm. then that sort of catches to me, and I sort of go, all right, well. So we were walking through this park, and this woman's like, seriously, in about a half hour, you got to come back because we have a full Viking reenactment.
All right.
And come back. Said, I'm staying.
And of course, my first thing is to laugh and say, that's funny. But she kept going. Oh, yeah, we got the full outfits and swords and helmets, and we're going to fight. It's going to be great. And so then
so this is like a Renaissance fair.
Yeah, sort of, yeah. But sort of just out in the middle of a park, like nowhere near anything else. Not mm-hmm. in a Renaissance fair.
All right.
So then I started laughing, and then she kept saying, it's the best thing you'll ever see. I was like, well, you know what? We might need to watch the full Viking reenactment.
Well, if it's the best Viking reenactment you'll ever see, how
right?
do you not?
You want to pass that up, your one
right.
opportunity?
But the rest of your life, man, you wonder what you missed.
So we waited around for about, 25 minutes.
Wow.
Right? Because she was so excited. This must be amazing. And then these two hippies put on the outfits, and they just got out there and like, huzzah! And they were just like sword fighting each other. And one guy goes, I hit you in the head. And the other guy goes, no, you didn't. I was like, I'm out.
Was the entire Viking reenactment just two guys?
Yeah. Two guys having a sword fight. And they had like the full outfits on. But they weren't really hitting with the swords. They were just fake hitting, even though they had all the things that they would have needed to protect themselves.
Why?
And then they started arguing about who hit who where like they were in fourth grade.
Amazing.
How great. Is that the greatest Viking reenactment a man could ever see?
I don't know.
I hope you found the lady that promoted it as such and boxed her ears or something.
Well, best hype woman ever.
Yeah.
Definitely,
right?
Yes. I was glad I saw it, but yeah. I only saw about 5 minutes of it because it sucked.
That is fantastic.
That's a thing that people do, though. I mean, it looked like they were setting up for like an hour before we got there, and then it was another half hour until they started. They couldn't have been happier, man. They were just pigs and slop. It was great.
Wow.
Does that surprise you, Bean?
Yes.
All right.
definitely surprised.
That's the answer.
Wow, that's fantastic. Hey, I got a story to get us started before we get into today's excellent Kevin and Bean show. I'm going to just say right up front that I doubt this is real. There just are enough inconsistencies in the story for me to believe it full-heartedly. Not the least of which is that there's no actual university mentioned where this allegedly happened at a university. But a residential life coordinator is what he calls him, the guy who goes around and inspects people's dorms, found a beer bong in somebody's dorm room and left a note, basically busting them for having a beer bong because I don't know what kind of ISIS America we live in now, but you're not allowed to have a beer bong in your dorm room anymore?
That's ridiculous.
So here's the note dated Wednesday, November 11th, which is just last week. During this round of health and safety inspections, a beer bong was confiscated from your room. This was the letter that was left in the dormitory. Please email me back by 4 p.m. tomorrow, November 12th, to let me know who will be taking responsibility for this funnel, or I will assume you are all taking responsibility for it. Thank you, residential life coordinator. In other words, you're going to get in trouble somehow, busted, something. Yeah. I don't know if the beer bong turns out to be yours. Now, tell me if this is the most brilliant response to that accusation of a beer bong.
Okay.
Dear residential life advisor, I believe you have mistaken my enema apparatus as a beer bong. I frequently use the funnel to relieve constipation caused by Parkhurst menu and chronic gastrointestinal issues. I read online that beer bongs can be used as a high-capacity enema funnel. And by the way, this reminds me, how many times have we said if you're trying to get out of something by being sick, the quickest way to do that with the fewest follow-up questions is just to explain your liquid from the waist down.
Yeah.
Because people think, I don't want to know any more about what's going on with you. Mm-hmm. And B, they think nobody would make something up that sounds so embarrassing, right? So they must be telling the truth. So you'll get people to believe it if you tell them you've just got crazy diarrhea.
And C, if that's the case, I'm never picking that up again. So come get it yourselves.
The letter goes on. It has worked quite well, and I would highly recommend it if you or a friend has a similar problem. Given the high price of traditional enema devices, the funnel and tube served as a cost-effective substitute. Moreover, I'd like to point out that it was located in the shower. It would be highly unsanitary to keep a beer bong used for consumption in the shower where all of the suite mates clean themselves. Performing large enemas in the shower is the most sanitary and convenient method because it avoids irritating spills. Consider this misunderstanding. I'd like to ask you for the return of my high-capacity enema, and I am once again suffering from chronic bowel obstructions, respectfully. Now, brilliant if true?
And brilliant if not.
More brilliant if not.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's pretty strong.
I mean the whole story. If the whole story is true and this is a real complaint and a real letter, this person is brilliant. If it's just somebody writing comedy, yeah, I guess it's pretty funny too. But wait,
if it's somebody trying to get out of actually having a bong, that's more brilliant than
amazing.
The other way.
That is genius.
Love it.
That is genius. So I hope that it is true, and I hope that that person, they pretty much leave the RA no choice but to give the beer bong back.
And
so not only do you not get in trouble, they have to give it to you.
Right.
I would say come pick it up. Right? I'm not going to bring it back to you. I don't want to touch it again.
I apologize for taking it,
yes.
But I'm not picking it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
So there you go. So see, people are doing smart things in college after all.
It's science.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
After zero consideration, I'm happy to say hard pass.
We're going to talk to our current Miss Double December, Ashley.
Excellent.
Yes, we are. As we head toward the Friday deadline to get in your application to be Miss Double December 2016. Why does the NFL hate the colorblind?
It's sad.
That Christmas game a couple of Thursdays ago with the Jets-Bills is hilarious. If you saw any of the pictures online simulating what that game looked like with those throwback uniforms to fans who were colorblind, it just looked like two teams were in gray, were playing each other. Almost impossible to make out who was doing what on the field. And apparently,
awesome.
The reason we're talking about it again is because they're doing it again.
They are.
They're doing it again. Yep.
All right.
Hateful.
Dr. Bo's going to be on the program today talking about tapeworms. And why did this come up again, Bean?
Listener Ivan, who phoned in a couple of weeks ago
right. On
What's Good, was diagnosed with having tapeworm larvae in his brain.
Right.
And was having trouble getting treatment, remember, because he didn't have insurance. So we told him we would reach out and try to get him some help. And I think Dr. Mo is able to help him and also maybe give us a heads up on how we can avoid the same thing happening to us, because that sounds no bueno.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good. Also on the program today, Bean makes us guess, and we're going to give away a trip to Las Vegas like we do. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Look who it is.
Birthday.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
It's my candle blowing birthday.
It's my candle blowing birthday. Yeah. That's right.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Good morning. How you doing, Bean?
What's up, man?
I'm going to do the whole Showbiz Beat.
Please don't. Please don't do that.
It's my birthday, and I'm going to do it in my birthday voice.
Well, let's not. Or let's pretend we did, and then
let's
now we're past
do
that.
It and not be so scared of everything. Let's be happy birthday to me.
We have a new B-Mixes guest coming up just after 6.
I'm nervous. Let me move on.
And first, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat.
Let me pretend that's not happening. Let me look over here and read this thing.
That did not just happen.
What a bunch of cowards, man. Let me tell you a little story, boys and girls, about, since it is my birthday, let me tell you a little story about back when the Kevin and Bean Show had some huevos. The kind of things this show would do on the radio. When I was just a lad, when I was a mere pup.
Yeah, you were listening to us back when you were 10 or 11.
Right. When I was starting on this here program, I was known as simply Ralph the New Guy because no one could think of an appropriate nom de radio to give me. And early on in my career here, it was my birthday. And back in the day, I used to be quite the raconteur, quite the cavalier.
You were the Charlie Sheen of the Kevin and Bean Show.
How dare you, sir?
You put in work, though. You did put in work.
I had an active social life, and so as a gesture of goodwill, Kevin and Bean decided it would be pleasant to get me sex on my birthday.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So what they did was they rented a room at the Farmer's Daughter Motel on Fairfax, near CBS Studios. And set me up there with a promo crew and a van outside and booked me a room and got me a cake and invited any female listeners who wanted to come down and have sex with me to come on down to the hotel.
What do you think happened, Allie?
What do you think happened, Allie?
I think ladies came down.
Well, one lady certainly did.
Okay.
Yeah. And we talked her on the air and we gave her a piece of cake.
Is that code?
You know what I'm saying? And we did that on the air. We got me laid on the air, live.
That's right.
Oh.
Do you think in a million years, knowing what we know now about our corporate attorneys, that we'd ever be allowed to do that again?
No, of course not.
On this radio program.
I don't think we can get cake.
No, you're not allowed to get that cake anymore because of gluten allergies and nut allergies.
Yep. You
know, and nobody's authorizing the expense for a $39 motel room. I'll tell you that.
That's
absurd,
right.
Yeah.
But I think back on that day and I say, That's nuts.
That's when the lawyers...
If we did that now, there would be no end to the meetings we'd have to sit through.
Yep. That's when the lawyers paid no attention to us because they just didn't care,
right.
Along with most of the audience.
Right.
So we could get away with anything.
Yes.
Such good times.
Can you imagine if we said we were going to do that?
Let's just do it.
The legal just palpitations that many of our attorneys would just go... They would lose their minds.
And by the way, not to question the attorneys and what they know, because they went to fancy law school, but who gets hurt in that? It's completely 100% voluntary adults doing what they want to do with full approval and consent.
Right.
What's the damage there? None.
None.
It's just fun. Just fun. Good for you, good for her, good for us.
Everybody had a good time.
Well, maybe not good for her, but for
that
Ralph.
Was good for her. She got cake. She got cake.
If nothing else, she got some cake.
That's right. Anyway. There's a little birthday memory for me.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
It didn't just happen.
It was a long time
ago, but it happened.
Yeah.
Hey, are you looking for a Star Wars toy for that special kid on your holiday list? Ah, you're effed. CEO of Hasbro, Brian Goldner, said they're running out of toys.
Well, they could never have anticipated the demand.
No, how could they? How could they know Star Wars toys would be popular?
It always kills me, and they always seem to do this over and over and over.
Turns out the toys are just flying off the shelves like X-Wing fighters, and, you know, everyone wants to buy them before The Force Awakens debuts on December the 18th, so they just can't keep them in stock, and so a lot of parents are going to get their kids that new BB-8 or whatever their kids are screaming for, and they get to the store shelves, and they're bare. how disappointing for children. They say it's not kids who are buying this stuff up, by the way. It's adult collectors who have just gone in and are buying boxes and boxes of this stuff, you know, triples, quadruples.
They buy as many as they can,
and they just store them and, you know, hope they can cash in later when they're collectibles and things like that. So multiple purchases are
depleting. Hasbro knew this ahead of time.
And they're saying they're, you know, they're making more. There'll be more available. But they're just concerned there may not be enough available for the holiday gift-giving season.
This is why you fail.
Right? Mm. So get on it, Hasbro.
You going to be okay, Allie?
I'm fine.
She got her stuff already, yeah. You know. She,
kidding?
She hoarded like a hoarder, like the hoarder she is. Speaking of holidays, we were talking recently about that OCD Target sweater that people were very upset about.
Right.
OCD, obsessive Christmas disorder, the sweater read.
Right. Mm-hmm. And people were outraged.
People with actual OCD were saying, what? I'm going to focus on this a lot to the extent that I will be preoccupied and ignore other things in my life, said the OCD people.
Until the next thing comes up.
Until I have to go wash my hands and turn off that light switch.
Put on Wapner.
Well, they're not the only ones. And at Starbucks, of course, the Red Holiday Madness, Satan's Cup,
sure.
Serving over there at Starbucks. Now other stores apparently are getting hit. Bloomingdale's had an ad for their holiday season, including the joke, spike your best friend's eggnog when they're not looking as a way to enjoy the holiday season. A group came forward and said that slogan was very date rapey. And they say it's inappropriate to use that in a light sense when coming to trying to sell merchandise for the holidays. And now Nordstrom is taking a hit. They had to halt sales of their holiday sweater for Hanukkah, their Hanukkah sweater, which featured a menorah, a Star of David, dreidels, and the phrase, high maintenance. See, high is the Hebrew word for life.
Right.
And so high maintenance, C-H-A-I, high maintenance, on there would be like, oh, maintaining my life, in essence. But some Jewish groups are saying it makes Jews sound like they're high maintenance. And so they're demanding sweater be pulled from shelves.
Did you just die, Bean?
It's the end times.
It's absurd.
That's why he died, because there's nothing worth living for anymore. That's why.
I can't even.
So when we live in a world where you can't put high maintenance on a sweater, I'm not getting laid at the farmer's daughter anymore.
No, that's all right.
It all comes back to that. Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. All these brilliantly talented, beautiful, special people were born on a day where beautifully talented, special people were born. November 17th.
Johnny Asshole.
No, he didn't make the cut. I think he's the 18th.
Oh.
Rachel McAdams, for example. She's 37 years old today. Beautiful. Actress Leslie Bibb, 41
right.
years old today. Beautiful. Talented. Right. Lorne Michaels. Genius Lorne Michaels. SNL creator Lorne Michaels, 71
wow.
years old.
Today. 3 for 3 so far.
Director Martin Scorsese. Martin
Come
Scorsese.
On.
How about that?
You're
How about the work
up.
That he does? 73 years old today. Brilliant actor, activist, producer, Danny DeVito. 71 years old today. Danny DeVito. And Gordon Lightfoot is also.
Nope.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Yeah,
nope.
Sadly.
Nope.
A lot of geniuses today.
Has to be an exception that proves the rule. Gordon Lightfoot celebrates his 77th
No, sir. Nope.
Today. Just saying.
Not playing that song.
Gordon
Not
Lightfoot.
Doing it.
Wow. Gordo got slapped down by show business. Which really
a long time ago.
Which is really true in so many ways. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
About 23 hours ago or so here on the Kevin Bean Show, we made the announcement you've been waiting for of K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. And although we've been doing this now for 26 years, this concert, I don't think we've ever had 22 musical acts in one weekend. It still blows my mind that there are 11 acts each night, including some great bands like Cage the Elephant and Silver Sun Pickups and Weezer and Panic at the Disco and Fall Out Boy, and the list goes on and on. Chris Cornell. Get all the details at KROQ.com. Keep listening for your chance to win your tickets soon, and they go on sale Friday at noon. KROQ.com for all the details.
But because we have so many bands, they do only get to play one song.
Just
each.
The one.
So they have to pick
that.
What's the song you want to play?
It's a 20-minute show. It's so weird how quickly it goes by.
All right, thanks for tuning in on a Tuesday morning. Hey, it's time for B-Mix's Guess.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Penis a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna
smartest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for B-Mix's Guess.
Yes.
Sure. I don't know if I ever mentioned this or not, but I enjoy the lists.
What? Only once an hour.
You have a list of your favorite lists. That's how much you like lists.
I do like when people put things in order and rank them. And that's why the greatest website in the world is called Ranker.com, where it's nothing but thousands of lists that are crowdsourced by the internet. And I thought this one was interesting, and I'm curious to see how you guys will do on this Ranker list, which is people we wish were still alive. The category, again, people we wish... We're still alive.
My mom better be on that list, or else I'm not playing this game.
This is famous people who died before they lived up to their complete potential. RIP to the world's greatest achievers, those who changed the way we live, the way we thought. This list includes people we wish were still alive, including humanitarians, artists, politicians, celebrities we wish have could stay with us longer. Now, I should mention, by the way, that many of the people on this list did die ahead of their time. Some did pass from natural causes. So that's a little bit of a hint. But I think it's an interesting list to think when you get inside people's head, if they had the opportunity to have some famous person from history still alive, who would they choose?
But is this someone who died young and so they didn't get to do everything they could, or just great people who, even though they were old, they died? I'm confused.
These are who comes to people's minds when you say, hey, what celebrity do you wish were still alive? It can be any of those things. I think you won't be surprised by a lot of the names on the list, but then a couple of them really did surprise me. So let's just see how you do. We'll try to fill in the top 10 and see how it goes. Kevin, position of honor at the head of the table. You get to go first. Who is a people we wish were still alive on this list?
Charles Schulz.
Oh, yay.
Son of a bitch. That's
He should be on that list.
No, he shouldn't.
It's a good guess.
It's a great guess. 1952 before you put pen to paper.
But I am sorry, he is not on the list. By the way, you thought that was a joke answer. That's a great answer.
Not a great answer.
No, I only said it to burn Ralph. That's the only reason.
Because he didn't get a chance to fulfill his potential. Because 100 years of Peanuts cartoons didn't give us enough.
All right, Ralph, you're up next. What's your guess?
Jeez, I'm torn. Is it Hitler? Is it John F. Kennedy?
Number 4 on the list.
Woo!
Wow. Whoever it is, we still wish we're alive. Excellent guess, yes. He was only 46 years old when he died. And a lot of people think, wow, it would have been great to see what he could get out of one term or maybe even two. All right, Allie, you're up next.
Gandhi.
I was stunned to see that Gandhi is not on this list.
Well, this is ridiculous.
What do I mean? He was at 400 years old when he died.
Well, too soon.
Kevin.
Steve.
Ooh, good.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Steve did.
Sorry.
No, I would go with Kurt Cobain.
I would have also expected to see him on this list, but no Kurt Cobain. There are several musical artists on this list, quite a few, in fact, but no Kurt Cobain. And by the way, this is InternetRanker.com. These are young people, and you know this isn't like this was your dad who was asked.
Right.
So,
They're not on the internet. My dad can't go on the internet.
Nope,
you're not allowing it.
If your dad.
Your dad is not on Ranker.com on internet polls.
Okay,
he's straight to porn. All right, Ralph, you're up next.
Ralph's leading
1-0. By the way.
How about Elvis Presley?
Elvis Presley, yes, indeed. He is on the list, and he is at number 15.
All right.
Ralph, 2 points. Allie?
Robin Williams.
Oh, good one.
Number 11.
Wow.
By the way, who wants Robin Williams to come back before Kurt Cobain? Good question. All right, Allie, you got a point. Kevin, you're up.
Now B wants to rank their worth. He wants to rank their worth about who's allowed to come back and who's not.
Going to make a new list.
Get the back of the line, Robin Williams.
Jesus.
Not Jesus.
Is that your guess?
That's Jesus.
Guess. Number one.
Number one
on the list.
Why wouldn't it be, Kevin?
Yeah, of course.
Why do you act surprised?
People I was stunned that wasn't anyone's first guess. He was 33 when he died, and a lot of people are still kind of bummed out about it.
He did a lot of good work before he left. He may not have had much left. He could have gotten involved in a sex scandal.
If I'm not mistaken,
a
lot of religious people think he is still alive because he's God. So
he's the son of God.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of people question whether he was a real person or not, so there's that.
All right.
Yeah. A lot of people still talking about him, though. Have you noticed that?
He still has.
Yeah.
He casts a large shadow, as they say.
Well, it's because that guy wrote a book about him, and it's
popular.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of kept him alive.
Steve Guttenberg wrote that book.
That's right. It was Steve Guttenberg, yeah. All right. Excellent guess, Kevin. You are on the board with one. Ralph Garman in the lead. Who's your next guest, please? These are, again, folks just joining us. These are people we wish were still alive.
Wish we still were live wishing. James Dean.
Let's see if I got James Dean in the top 20. No, I'm sorry. I do not.
Mother Teresa.
No, I'm sorry.
Again, she was way old when she died, Allie.
Yeah. Too soon. Yeah. Again.
Think of young Too people soon. Who had a lot of potential. That's the route I'm going.
Let's go around one more time. What do you think?
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
Ooh, Kevin. Kevin, not answering just with clips now. Now you're playing clips instead of answering. I like it. Not Amy Winehouse, huh? Mm.
If there's no Kurt Cobain, there's not going to be an Amy Winehouse, yeah, I don't think.
Right. Jim Morrison.
Excellent guess.
Not good enough for the list, apparently.
Jimi Hendrix.
Yes, Jimi Hendrix is on the list. Nice. He is number 16.
Yeah. That's the list of top 10? I thought we were trying to get the top 10.
Yes, yes. But we're getting closer.
John Belushi.
No, I'm sorry.
Come on.
All right. Ralph and Allie, wrap it up.
Oh, boy. Princess Diana.
Oh,
Diana good
is
one.
A, is good. Number 10 on the list of people we wish were still alive. Good one. Wow. Ralph has won this game already. Allie, your final guess?
Jeff Buckley.
Bill Withers. Is Bill Withers
He's
on the
alive,
list?
He's alive, so how dare you?
Ferguson.
No, I'm sorry. There's no Turn Ferguson. Here's I'll give you the top 10 here. Number 10 was Diana Princess of Wales. Number 9, a little man named Martin Luther King Jr.
Sure.
Was on the list.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Number 8 surprised me a little bit. Walt Disney.
Oh, he would be good to be alive, yeah.
Yeah, I can number see that. Number 7, John Lennon.
Oh my God, what's wrong with us?
Number 6, and the most surprising name on the list, and I just can't figure it out, is Steve Irwin.
Carl Hunter?
That much affection still for Steve Irwin, who's been dead now for almost 10 years?
The kid from Family Matters?
Did I do that?
that's
Urkel.
No. Oh, Steve Urkel. Oh, yeah. Never mind.
Different. Number 5 is Mozart. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
We don't need any more Mozart.
He was also pretty young when he died. Yeah, number 4 was President Kennedy. Number 3, Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah, he'd be cool. He'd be cool.
Number 2. Albert Einstein was number 2 on the list. But again,
oh,
Ralph.
I have Einstein on my list.
Well, you should have said it.
So you went to Jeff Buckley first?
I did.
That's a bad decision right there.
And then number 1, as Kevin predicted, was Jesus Christ himself. So there you go. There's your list of people we wish were still alive. This has been Beat Makes Us Guess.
Beat Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Got an update on the Kevin Amin listener who has a tapeworm in his brain. He came to us for help a few days ago, and we've got our friend Dr. Mo lined up to tell us what's new with Ivan. First, though, this was a surprising story on many levels that Ralph did in the Showbiz Beat yesterday. First of all, that anyone representing any company would sign up Scott Disick as a spokesperson.
Yeah, that's absurd.
Now, for folks who don't know the name, he was the one who became famous for dating Kourtney Kardashian. But he has been, essentially, he's just been in and out of rehab. And just, if you've ever seen the Keeping Up with the Kardashians show, he's the guy who contributes nothing of any interest to any scene ever. That's Scott Disick. So why do you go to him and say, hey, represent my company?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. That's absurd.
Who buys whatever he's selling based on his celebrity? I don't know. Anyway, he's got a beard, and that's why he has been now associated with a place called the Dollar Beard Club, which I had never heard of until yesterday, but that is apparently a thing. It seems pretty hipster-esque to me, but this is a company that runs just to service the needs of you and your beard. I think we have a little clip of one of their commercials.
Gentlemen, I'm Chris, founder of DollarBeardClub.com. What is the Dollar Beard Club? Well, you sure as hell won't be receiving any razors from us to demolish your manhood. Instead, for only a dollar a month, you'll receive the most legendary beard oil known to mankind. Finding the time to go out and buy your monthly beard supplies is just too tough. I get it. But if you cherish your beard and you want to keep it healthy, feeling smooth, and smelling like the beard of Zeus, then you're going to need some oil in that hedge. Every month, straight to your door, you'll receive a fine selection of beard oils, waxes, balms, shampoos, and everything else you'd ever need to keep your beard looking godly. Good job, boys. Just keep on growing your beard,
right,
and we'll take care of the rest. Be a man and sign up at DollarBeardClub.com.
Okay. All right. You got to get some oil in that hedge, you guys. That's what I learned from that ad.
What's beard oil? Why do you use beard oil?
I don't know anything about it, but I'll tell you, a man who does is spokesperson for the Dollar Beard Club, Nick Balzac, who joins us here on the Kevin Amin Show. Nick, I'm sorry. Did I say that name right?
Yeah, bro. It's Balzac with a Z, dude.
Balzac. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, get some oil up in that hedge.
<All right. laughs> What? Kevin had a question right off the bat. Why? What's beard oil? What is that used for?
Come on, dude. You got to keep your beard looking fresh, dude. You got to get it. You got to make it smooth. You got to make it soft. You want it shiny but not greasy, okay? You want to minimize that beard itch, and you want to repair damaged beard hair.
Woo! Don't most men just use soap in a shower? What?
Most stupid men do, yeah. Oh. But not with the Dollar Beard Club. Scott Disick, yeah!
Do you know who Scott Disick is?
I sure do.
Okay.
He's a guy with a sweet-ass beard, I know that much. And he's married to Kris Jenner or somebody.
He used to date Kourtney Kardashian.
Right. But he's famous! Dollar Beard Club!
Now,
yeah, get some sweet almond oil up in that hedge. Have the beard of Zeus.
Beard of Zeus.
Zeus!
Mr. Balzac, I feel you must have to do that a lot, correct a lot of people, huh?
I do.
You should probably change that.
Yeah, that's why I grew the beard. I was hiding from people. Not anymore, because I'm proud of my beard. Jojoba oil, woo!
I feel like for thousands and thousands of years, men had beards and they didn't need all of these products that you're selling from the Dollar Beard Club.
But now, for a dollar a month, we'll send you some wax. Beard wax.
Okay. Is that for styling, like a mustache?
Yeah, you can shape your beard.
Okay.
You can look like a 1920s bicyclist. Yeah!
Are we near the end of the hipster beard phase? I feel like we are.
No way, bro. Beards are now and forever. You put some sandalwood in that baby, slap it some balm on there, tune it up with some wax, and you're forever. Beards are forever. Yeah! Dollar Beard Club, yeah! Go ahead, lady, yeah!
Seems like it takes a lot of effort.
Yeah, it does. I spend usually 14, 15 hours a day working on my beard.
What's up? How is that possible?
But it's worth it, man, because it looks like Zeus. I can throw lightning at you. Lightning!
I just want to ask a follow-up. You can throw lightning?
Well, not really.
Okay.
But I look like I could.
Yeah, okay.
All right. That's what Zeus did, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Scott Disick?
Nope.
I'm exhausted just talking to you, Mr. Balzac.
Balzac!
If you know a hot chick with huge boobs, please let her know when she wakes up from her beauty sleep later today that we are looking for her to go to KROQ.com and enter to be Miss Double December 2016. We're running out of time. Today's Tuesday already. Deadline is Friday to get to KROQ.com, be 21 or over, complete your submission and send in two photos of yourself, and then prepare to make the top 10 and join us at the Rock and Roll Slide Bar Kitchen in downtown Fullerton on Friday, December the 4th for the pageant. We will crown Miss Double December 2016. Kevin, explain just briefly why that's such an awesome deal for the lady who wins.
I mean, you really get to do all of the fun stuff from KROQ. You get to go to Acoustic Christmas, both nights, by the way. You get to go to Weenie Roast. You get to go to April Foolishness. You get to go if we have any breakfast. You get to show up at that. You get to do all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. You can hang out with us, but you don't have to. Don't make that a deal breaker.
Right. Look, just use us for the free stuff.
Right, that's all.
That's what we're saying. And be part of the Kevin and Bean family. Go to KROQ.com for all the details. You could be Miss Double December 2016. All right, very excited to bring this update to you. A couple of weeks ago, on November the 5th, we did our What's Good feature where we asked listeners to call in, and we have another one coming up in about 20 minutes where you call in and be part of the show, tell us what we're not talking about. And a listener named Ivan called in who had a very intriguing medical condition going on that he explained to us.
So the 23rd, I was here at work. I was giving one of my employees his appraisal. I had a quick headache, got dizzy, then I woke up about an hour later at the emergency room.
Oh, my God.
Turns out I had a seizure. Stayed there overnight, you know, waiting the results. I had never had a seizure before in my life. I've never even been hospitalized.
Right.
Turns out they said I have something. I'm not too familiar with the word, series psychosis. Turns out it's a bunch of larvae lodged inside my skull.
You have tapeworm in your skull as well?
Yeah, it's larvae. And they said pretty much... they put me on seizure medication. They didn't have a neurologist there at that hospital. This was sent to another hospital. They told me I needed to see a neurologist as soon as possible. They needed to call a DMV because I am no longer able to drive because I could have a seizure at any time.
I'd just like to start here by saying, does that qualify for what's good?
Oh.
Well, I mean, he is calling to tell us something interesting that we didn't know about, right?
All right. I'll allow it.
The first thing I thought when I heard Ivan's problem is get this man to a doctor. And I texted right after the show our good friend Dr. Mo, who's a general trauma and vascular surgeon, and I said, Dr. Mo, you're not going to believe this dude Ivan we had on the show today who has tapeworm larvae in his brain. What can we tell him? He needs help. Dr. Mo joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Doc.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Allie.
Hi, Dr. Mo.
Huh.
How uncommon is tapeworm or tapeworm larva in a human's brain?
Please tell us this is the only time you've heard of it.
Oh, the scary thing is when Bean texted me and I was listening to the podcast, I kind of knew what it was, even though I'm a surgeon. It's more common than you think.
Oh. How does it happen? How do you get tapeworms in your head?
Well, this seems to be a theme, because back in 2011, you had me on talking about that tapeworm diet thing that was going on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this is...
Bean loves worms.
Well, this is next-gen worm stuff. So...
Okay.
People walk around with tapeworms in their tummy doing all sorts of fun stuff. Well, imagine those tapeworms try to make more tapeworms, so they start laying eggs. And those eggs get excreted out of the body, and somehow those eggs, which in certain parts of the world other animals will eat, and then they'll get into the meat, they'll get into the muscles of those animals, and that's why when you eat uncooked meat or uncooked pork, you will have these eggs and stuff in the pork. But what if you don't have pigs in the house? How is eggs from a tapeworm getting into this guy's brain?
Right.
And so the bottom line is, when we tell you to wash your hands, wash your goddamn hands.
Really? It's just washing your hands?
Well, how else do the eggs get into you? So what happens
I don't
is,
know. I'm not the doctor.
Well, I am telling you, wash your blankety-blank hands. Okay. That's the thing. So, yeah, what happens is... food gets contaminated or other things get contaminated, and somehow these eggs that used to be inside you that are outside of you are on surfaces or on food or on whatever. There's somebody else in the house that has tapeworms usually, or you've been in contact with somebody somewhere that has tapeworms. You just have their eggs now.
Oh,
and the eggs don't sit around and hang out in your stomach anymore. These suckers will course to your brain and set up shop there. And what happened to Ivan?
Why do they go to your brain and set up shop?
They need a hobby? I don't know.
In your case, Kevin, that's where all the room is in your body.
It's tasty? I don't know. It's whatever. Yeah.
Tapeworms seem like they can survive outside of the body. These eggs can survive outside of the body for a long time. They seem super resilient.
These tapeworms, the more I learn about this stuff, these suckers are kind of scary. I mean,
that's what we started with.
All right, so what do they do when they're in your brain?
Well, the most common presentation for what's called neurocysticercosis is seizure. 70% of people, they'll show up never having a seizure. They show up into the emergency room. We do a CAT scan or an MRI, and we see these cysts in the brain. And interestingly, it's California, Texas, and New Mexico is where almost all the cases are. And it's almost always in the Hispanic population, because this disease is endemic in Mexico, meaning that's where these bugs live. There's other places, there's other developing countries where this neurocysticercosis is the number one parasitic infection of the nervous system. I mean, this stuff happens, and that's really, really scary.
We had that story about 3 weeks ago, Doc. I'm sure you saw it, about the guy in California, in Napa Valley, who went to the emergency room because his head hurt so bad, and they did exactly what you said, and they diagnosed that he had a tapeworm in his brain, and it was cutting off the water going to his brain, and they said, if we don't get you into brain surgery right now, you will be dead within 30 minutes. It was that close.
Yeah, absolutely right. In fact, that's one of the few reasons, and it's very super rare, that somebody would need surgery. And what happened is those cysts were blocking off the outflow of the natural fluid that surrounds your brain, and so it keeps building up and building up and building up, and that is one of the scarier manifestations.
No kidding. Yeah. All right, so we had Ivan on the phone. He told us about the tapeworm. Now you told us how he likely got it. Part two of the call, which was very distressing to us, is what he wasn't able to do about it. Here's a little of that. Why are you on the phone with us right now and not a hospital making an appointment for surgery?
I've been trying to go to different hospitals. They recommended USC because they're the best, I guess, around with neurology and all that. They can't help me because I don't have insurance. And I try to apply for any kind of insurance, even payment plans. They say they pretty much won't help me because to them I make too much money.
Yeah, and he works at AutoZone. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's not so rich.
So what's that about, Doc? You that's part of your job is dealing with insurance companies. What does a guy like Ivan do?
Ivan, Jesus, I'm going to get inundated in phone calls. You need to know somebody when you're in that bad of a situation, or you need to know what to do, and nobody really tells you. Now, there's some very simple things you can do. One secret, that's not much of a secret, is if you don't have insurance and you go to an ER, we have to take care of you. So that's point one. So he at least got the ball rolling. The second part is like, well, your acute phase is taken care of. You're not going to die right now, but now what happens from now on? Well, there's this whole county system, and Dr. Drew mentioned it, I think last week, that even every county does it slightly differently, and negotiating this maze for the people that are minimally or uninsured is really difficult. So now, what I'm doing with Ivan is I made a whole bunch of phone calls, talked to some infectious disease specialists, and I'm waiting to hear back from some neurologists about how we can sort of get him in the system. The good news is I was able to find out that he's not in danger right now, and we have time to work this out.
Good.
So that's number one. When I talked to Ivan, we already came up with a few backup plans. Just in case something happens before we can get this figured out, he's got a backup plan. But in general, for people who don't have insurance, and if you really try to work it out online, there are so many options, even that I was unaware of, that it's a little bit of work. Sometimes it's like just good old-fashioned footwork. You show up to these clinics. There are many clinics in the area where if you don't have insurance, you sign up, you get seen there, you get your primary care, and it's your first step into the system. Is it a slow system? Yep, but I'm telling you, you get some of the best medical care on the planet at places like Harbor, UCLA, County USC, and UCLA. It's just getting into the system, and it can be laborious.
He went on to say in that same phone call that he had tried to set up an appointment, and the earliest they could see him is February. Is that normal and okay?
The only politically correct answer I can give you is that some doctors are dickly, and some programs are very not very compassionate,
is
I guess.
Is dickly a word? Because I hope so.
It is now.
Okay.
I like it. Well, listen, we're out of time here, Dr. Bo, but I appreciate so much that you took the time out of your very busy schedule to talk to Ivan, and you're going to continue to keep in touch with him and see how he does so we can hopefully get some good news back from this boy?
Oh, absolutely. What a super nice guy, and we had a nice long talk. No,
good.
We'll follow up, and I bet you we'll have some good news.
Jorge writes in, by the way, about the Mexican tapeworms. Build a wall. I'm voting for Trump to keep the Mexican tapeworms out of America. So there we go. That's the long-term permanent solution. Dr. Mo, we love you, man. Thanks for coming on.
See you guys later.
It is 6:53.
Dave tells me that Mexican tapeworms just added to night number one of Kill Bill Willis Kiss Christmas.
Awesome.
Great news. It's a good band. Hey, just after 7, we're going to take your calls on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. Perhaps you have your own tapeworm in your head you want to tell us about. You can give us a call.
I'm not sure we want that to be a thing.
I think we got enough of that. Good. Yeah. And let me make this suggestion, by the way, that this might be fun for people who are calling in on What's Good. How about your favorite Ralph Garman memory of the Kevin and Bean Show?
Tribute to Ralph.
Your tribute to Ralph. Your favorite thing you've ever heard Ralph do on the Kevin and Bean Show. I would be interested to hear what people would come up with because it is Ralph Garman's birthday today, and that might be a nice way to give back, and it won't cost you anything. So give us a call on any topic, including Ralph or tapeworms or whatever's going on in your life at 1-800-520-1067. Your calls on Kevin and Bean's What's Good just after 7. Now time for the Showbiz Beat with the birthday boy.
Most important thing to Bean is it don't cost anything.
Doesn't cost you anything.
Right? Right?
This way you don't have to spend money.
Deep, deep discount.
I didn't think that a lot of our listeners would be spending money on
I wouldn't want them to, but I wouldn't think that would be the selling point of paying tribute to me. This is a good way not to spend any money. I wouldn't think that would go to the top of my list, but look, we're all different, right?
Right.
Right. I'm willing to guess if people called in about their favorite moments and what I did on this show, many of them we couldn't really even talk about or certainly couldn't do again.
Well, that's very true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm a bad mamma jamma.
Shut your mouth.
Just talking about Ralph.
See, Bean makes jokes like that and then he controls the sound effect of the clapping. That's BS. It's not cool.
I think there's some sort of twisted justice in it, quite frankly. there were lots of rumors. What's Charlie Sheen going on the Today Show to talk about? It was a very personal matter, we were told by NBC. The story leaked a little bit yesterday, so we had some idea what it was going to be. In fact, he did go on the Today Show this morning with Matt Lauer.
to make the following announcement.
You know there are a lot of rumors out there right now, and you would like to address them head on, so I'll give it to you.
Go ahead. I have to, yeah. I'm here to admit that I am, in fact, HIV positive. And I have to put a stop to this onslaught, this barrage of attacks and of sub-truths and very very harmful and mercurial stories that are about that threatening the health of so many others, which couldn't be farther from the truth.
Yeah. Charlie says he was diagnosed roughly 4 years ago, sent him into a deep depression, which he says was a large component of his spiral into drug addiction and heavy drinking and risky sexual behavior. And why did he come forward at this point? Well, apparently, Charlie admits he has been paying several prostitutes and or porn stars who have been trying to extort money from him in exchange for keeping his diagnosis a secret. He says in the interview that he has spent millions of dollars paying people off, women he would invite to his home for sexual encounters who would then take the information about his diagnosis and threaten to go to the tabloids with it. One prostitute, he claims, after an encounter, went into his bathroom and took photos of his retroviral drugs.
Wow. Oh my God.
With her cell phone camera, and then threatened to release those images to the media if not compensated. So he's admitted he's paid millions of dollars in extortion money, and he finally said it's time for him to own this, to come forward, not only to release himself and take the power away from his extortionists, but also to try to do something positive and maybe start a dialogue that will help other people.
Did the HIV cause his stutter?
No, he's just got a lot going on in his head.
Where? Did that
I'm
come,
not
come,
sure
come from?
You
from, from.
Are the person who needs to be mocking.
I don't know if you're the guy.
It just sounds so much worse than ever before.
Well, he was obviously nervous. Yeah. Look, there's a horrible stigma still attached to this illness, and he said it was a shame and the fear of that stigma that led him to be secretive about it for the past 4 years or so. It's a sad situation. But
the good news is that, I mean, and we've talked to Dr. Drew about this before, 30 years ago, this was a death sentence.
Yes.
And now most people who are HIV positive will live a relatively normal life.
They were very specific in this interview. Charlie Sheen's doctor accompanied him later on in the interview with Matt Lauer. They talked about, although he does have the HIV, the virus, he is HIV positive. He does not have AIDS. And Charlie claims, I mean, it's hard with Charlie Sheen to know what's fiction and what's reality. You know, he lives in this world of his own creation, and you want to take him for at face value, but you don't know. You just don't know. He claims, however, that he was always very upfront with all his sexual partners, used condoms in all cases, except for two people who were well aware of his status. He had unprotected sex with two relationships, he claimed. They're well aware of his status. They were also under the care of his doctor, given precautionary drugs that can keep you from acquiring the virus. And so he said has not passed this virus on to anyone else. I thought it was curious, though, when asked if he knew how he acquired the virus, how he was exposed to the virus, he said he did not know. He claims he'd never used any sort of intravenous drugs.
Really?
That's surprised.
But then also
that would have been
about
my guess immediately.
He was on he went through a large period where he was doing a lot of steroids and injectable supplements while he was bodybuilding and stuff like that. So, I mean, who knows? It doesn't really matter how you acquire it. But it was sad. It was sad, but I thought it was kind of brave of him to come forward. It looked like he was sort of pressed into it because, as I mentioned, of this blackmail attempts and stuff. But just a sad story. But it looks like he's healthy, and he's trying to turn his life around and do something positive. So
I hope so.
Wish him all the best.
That kind of stress every single day, wondering if it's going to come out, this has to be a huge relief to him.
That's what he said. He said he feels like he's out of prison now.
Yeah.
Because he no longer has to be fearful that someone's going to expose him, and he's stepping forward and doing it himself. And he takes the power away from these extortionists. You know, he said, as of today, I'm not going to be paying any of these people anymore. But he claims it's into the millions of dollars that he's spent.
Wow. I'm surprised he waited so long before he spent $10 million on hush money.
But I guess you got to be ready to make that announcement. You got to be ready for the fallout of that, I guess.
Look, if you have the money, and he does, thanks to the wild success of Two and a Half Men, of course, made him a multimillionaire. And his anger management deal also made him a multimillionaire. I guess you figure if you have the money, it's better than facing whatever the repercussions are, whatever the stigma or shame of this illness that it still carries.
You said he's known for 4 years?
He says roughly 4 years ago. He
That's
was
a long time.
And he said it was the depression and the fear of dealing with that disease that caused him to spiral into that mess we all saw that he became with the drinking and the drugs and everything else, which completely makes sense, really, when you look at it. Although I don't think he was starting off on a solid foundation to begin with. But there you have it. That's the news of the Today Show this morning that just broke. Makes me sad. You know what makes me happy, though? Justin Bieber's a douchebag. That still makes me happy.
He's consistent.
Yes, he is. You know, have you seen his videos for his...
I'm not, no.
His album? Mm-mm. On Friday, they released the album, apparently, and ever since then, every hour, he's released a new video for one of his songs. And now it's made a 45-minute movie, if you tie it all together. The Purpose is the name of the album. The music video film that has been stitched together, 45 minutes of videos, is now being called Purpose, the Movement.
Nope.
It's a movement, all right. A bowel movement.
Nope.
He says he has been showing the film at various An Evening with Justin Bieber events around the country, and the results have been amazing. People are blown away by the videos as well as they are by the music. What a douchebag. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Rachel McAdams is 37 years old today. Leslie Bibb is 41. Lorne Michaels, producer of Saturday Night Live, 71 years old today. Actor Danny DeVito from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and of course Taxi and Twins. Remember Twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger? Arnold Schwarzenegger was so big.
That's right.
And buff, and Danny DeVito was so small and not, and yet they were twin brothers.
They were twins.
That is a recipe for comedy, ladies and gentlemen. He's 71. Martin Scorsese, 73. And singer Gordon Lightfoot, 77.
Yeah, he is. All right.
Keep going.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show of his beat.
Yes. Taking your calls right now on the Kevin and Bean Show with What's Good. It's 1-800-520-1067. You can call on any topic. But today, in honor of our friend Ralph Garman's birthday, we thought it might be fun to make it a Ralph Garman edition. You can call in and share with us your favorite memory of Ralph over the years. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
That's good indeed. By the way, Rachel writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, my favorite, my favorite Ralph Garman memory is pretty much every LaQuisha bit he did, especially the one reviewing the Rich Kids of Beverly Hills.
Hey, LaQuisha's a real lady.
What are you talking about?
That person is just confused how the world works, right?
Take credit for her work. She's ridiculous.
Come on, Keith.
Talent in her own right.
Sean wants to know, is it okay to bring up a certain international incident?
Nope.
I don't have any idea what he's referring
to.
That is very weird.
No.
All right. Let's try Bryce in Burbank to get us going on line two. Again, 1-800-520-1067 if we're going to add to the Ralph Garman birthday celebration. I think this is going to be fun for you, Ralph, to see what things have stuck in people's memories over the years.
All right, ladies. Let the calls commence, ladies.
Bryce.
What?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Bryce.
My favorite memory was about a year or two ago when Ralph used to end every sentence with, like a monkey.
Yeah. Like a monkey. That thing for a while.
You gotta bring that back.
Maybe I should bring that back.
Let me just...
Like a monkey.
Isn't that a sort of a strange thing for it to be his, like, all-time favorite thing?
My catchphrase? That's the one you remember?
Like a monkey.
I gotta get a t-shirt.
Yeah, because I could look forward to hearing it every day.
All right.
So you're
where did that
to
come from, Ralph? Do you remember?
Things like a monkey. It started with me talking about I don't know. I think I was mocking Kevin.
Sure.
Saying he was goofy, throwing poo around like a monkey. And
all
then,
right, Bryce.
Then everything became like a monkey.
And then for the next 2 weeks, everything was a monkey.
All right. Great call. Thank you. Let's go to Taylor, line four. She is in Gardena. Hi, Taylor. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's good?
I have a quick story for you guys.
Okay.
Okay, well, I bought a lot of gold jewelry yesterday and started wearing it. And it was really gaudy. I woke up in a new Bugatti.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Wow.
So your gold chains were a real Bugatti. And you really look gaudy. I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Maybe leave that one to the professionals.
Look, we saw what you were going for.
All right.
We appreciate it, Taylor.
All right.
You know what? We run out of those things. There's definitely a point of diminishing returns where those things like Amadeus and Bugatti, they just start to fall off the cliff. And we like to...
But we hold on to them for another couple of years.
Right.
And then
we say, enough's enough.
Thank you, Taylor. Thank you, Taylor. Speaking of Amadeus, let's go to Sam in Huntington Beach. He has a memory he wants to share.
Hey, several years ago, I think it was Falco's birthday, is when this whole thing got initiated. I think they had this little bit where you said, hey, you know, I went to the Grand Canyon and they were renting donkeys, and when you go down the hill, you can rent them for a day or for the weekend. And then you burst into, ride me, I'm a day ass. And I literally had to pull over because I was laughing so hard. And for several years after that, that just continued. So now when you do that bit, I have to make sure I'm kind of ready to pull over because I don't know what's going to happen.
Ride me on a day ass. Yeah.
Right.
Is that how it started?
It may have. I don't know the actual origin of the Rock Me Amadeus bit that went on for way too long. But
yeah, way too long.
Yeah.
Great call, though, Sam. So. Could we hear a little Falco, please?
Rock me Amadeus.
Oh, there it is.
I got the whole song. You want the whole song? Or?
No, that's plenty. That's fine.
Remember, grab me, Amadeus. Amadeus, Amadeus.
Rachel writes in, Ralph, I feel so honored to share a birthday with you. You make my morning birthday buddy. Happy birthday. From the 714, this text came in. Thank you, Ralph Garman, for taking time for your fans. Every time I've met you at the annual blood drive vein drain, you always have time to take a picture with me. Another from the 818, my favorite thing Ralph done is the hot fudge holy moly. Where has that been?
Wow.
He wants to know.
Wow, yeah.
Hot fudge holy moly was another great catchphrase.
Yeah! Hot fudge holy moly, what's going on?
Get stuck on the most obscure, weird things sometimes.
Yeah, that was from a kid's show that I used to watch when I was a little kid. And I used that just for special breaking
Wizard?
News. Special breaking news. That, I was going to use it for Charlie Sheen's HIV announcement, but it seemed sort of inappropriate.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Matt. He is a police officer listing in
Uh-oh.
Costa Mesa.
Oh,
he's
crap.
He's got a favorite Ralph memory he wants to share. Hey,
as
Matt,
do
go
I.
Ahead.
Good morning. My favorite Ralph moment when he was trying out for the show when he got busted buying the booze for the underage teenager.
I don't know what you're talking about, Matt. That sounds unlike anything I would ever do. I'm insulted. You'll be hearing from my lawyers.
We've all been there. I used to do it. When I was a kid, used to go down to the marketplace and try to get people to buy me beer. But nowadays, I wore both the vice side and the uniform side.
But if you remember correctly, Ralph was set up.
It was a sting, man. It was a setup.
I know. It was Operation Shoulder Tap.
Yeah.
I remember.
Those kids were rats, by the way. I'm not saying you can't find them anymore, but snitches get stitches, right? You with me?
It's tough, I tell you.
Thank you for the call.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for the call. Wow, we have so many good ones. Let's go to Martin. He's in L.A. He's on line 6.
All right. Hi, Martin.
Good, guys.
What's good?
All right, so... First of all, I want to say happy birthday, man. I'm also sharing one with you. I've been to Hollywood Babylon a couple of times.
Oh, thanks, Martin.
My favorite. Yeah, no problem. And so my favorite Ralph segment would have to be the Mumford the Hits. Every time you guys would do that, I would be in tears the whole time.
Poor Mumford. I gave them a hard time for a while, didn't I?
Remember when we did the breakfast with Mumford and Sons and Bean was gone or on vacation or something?
It was the week of my kidney surgery.
Okay. And just Ralph and I did it, and they were the nicest, best guys
ever. Yeah, we had
ever.
Breakfast with them, and
so great.
And I felt so bad afterwards, because I would endlessly mock them, just singing over and over again. They always sing like this, and this is where they sing the songs, and every song sounds the same, it sounds the same, it sounds the same. Yeah.
Lori writes in for Ralph's birthday, as much as I desperately miss sex you, how's that for a phrase we haven't heard in a long time?
Lawyers.
That was a regular feature on the program
Again,
for
the
years.
Lawyers.
My favorite memory, and we heard this from a number of listeners this morning, was when Ralph took over the broadcast for 9/11. Kevin and Beam were on vacation. He was so calming and informative. It was like we were experiencing with a personal friend. Well done, Ralph. And RIP Doc. Yeah, Doc was a great guy before we lost him. So that's from Johnny and Lo as well, writing about 9/11. That had to be one of the craziest, most surreal days of your broadcast career, Ralph, because you never imagined that you're going to be the guy in the position of having to spread that news to the listeners.
No, it was just a perfect storm of circumstances that were just horrifying and horrible. But because you guys were on vacation and I was just doing showbiz beats, there was no one else really to cover it. So I jumped on the microphone. And I was sort of new to radio at the time, so I was overwhelmed and ill-prepared. But we went on the air, and because of the nature of what was happening, we had no commercials and no songs and no breaks. And I think we were on for about 4 or 5 hours straight just trying to get as much information to people as we could.
Well, let me just say this, having done this for a long time. No one is as good as Ralph at the very beginning of their career. It's sort of nonsense. He was great from the beginning, and the rest of us were practicing and practicing and working at smaller radio stations and sucking. He just came in and was good at it. So I hate him for that. Is that what we're saying?
All right. Happy birthday.
Is that our point? What's good?
Hey, if you weren't listening about this time yesterday, maybe you missed the big news. The K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015 details are out. It's coming up Saturday and Sunday, December 12th and 13th at the Forum with 22 musical acts performing over two nights. Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale is happening this Friday at noon. It's easy and free and fast to be a K-Rock Street Team member. Just sign up at K-Rock.com, get yourself the password, and then be prepared to buy the tickets when they go on sale Friday at noon.
What's going on with the NFL hating the colorblind? What's up with that? Why is that happening? Is that a thing?
Apparently so.
It's impossible not to offend some segment of the population with everything that you do. But yeah, there was a football game. When was this, Allie? Was this last Thursday night?
Yeah, it was last Thursday, the Bills versus the Jets.
And they were wearing throwback uniforms, where the Jets were in all green uniforms. They look like pajamas, actually. And the Bills were in all red uniforms. And it was very Christmassy. The only thing that was missing from it was that it didn't snow. That would have been perfect. It was very Christmassy. But it was also very confusing for people who have red-green color blindness. Now,
Specific category of people who are colorblind?
Yeah. There's also a blue-yellow.
Huh. Yes. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, speaking of blue-yellow, Allie, this Thursday night is going to be the next color rush game in the NFL, which is going to be Titans-Jaguars, and that's going to be blue and gold uniforms. So we may see a repeat of the colorblind problem.
Oh, no.
Here's a news report that talked about what happened to some people who tried to watch that game and then realized they couldn't tell which uniforms each team was wearing.
This week's edition of Thursday Night Football was an exciting one for NFL fans, but some people watching couldn't enjoy the game because they couldn't tell which team was which. The confusion comes from an unfortunate combination: special new uniforms and color blindness. You see, the NFL usually requires one team to wear white and another to wear their color for most games. But on Thursday, the NFL was kicking off its new Color Rush campaign by having both teams suit up in special full-color Nike jerseys. This week, the Bills wore bright red uniforms and the Jets wore their trademark green. Though the uniform combo might have had fans thinking the game was Christmas-themed, most viewers didn't have any trouble telling the teams apart. Except for fans with red-green color blindness, a condition affecting millions of Americans, it makes red and green look basically the same, meaning the game looked like all 22 players on the field were wearing the same jersey. Fans and media members alike were sounding off on Twitter after the game started. A sports editor at the Associated Press called watching the game torture.
Well, the game was, too.
That's because it was Bill's Jets.
Right, exactly. Why does every news report on the internet have to be set in a disco nightclub?
That's disco or jazz.
Yeah.
Yes.
One of the two, yeah.
What is happening? Why do we need that?
I don't know.
If you're gonna have that kind of music behind you, at least beatbox the news, all right? So here's the topic. We have never, ever thrown the phones open for Kevin and Bean listeners who are colorblind. I don't know anyone who is colorblind. Do you guys?
I do not, no.
Mm-mm.
No, neither of you.
I wouldn't be friends with them. That's what we're saying, right?
No, I don't think so. I can't imagine what that is like and how you kind of navigate through that, because I would imagine, and I'm looking forward to hearing these stories, I would imagine there are lots of scenarios where it really is difficult to do whatever it is you need to do if you can't tell the difference between colors.
But don't you think, especially for the Sports Illustrated editor, don't you think it was annoying at most? I mean,
it wasn't torture.
It wasn't torture. Yeah.
It wasn't torture.
It would be annoying to not be able to see the difference, you know?
Like the first thing that just occurred to me, and again, we want to take your calls if you are colorblind. We are sincerely interested in knowing what that is like, how that works out in your life at 1-800-520-1067. The first thing I thought is red-green stoplights. Now, I assume you just know which light is which. You know which one is go and which one is stop based on the position on the stoplight. But can you really not see the difference between those two colors? I guess that would be how that would work, right?
You know what I just thought of, and I didn't think about it watching the game or even when I heard the story. What about players that are colorblind?
Players that are colorblind?
Like, if you're a quarterback and you're throwing down the field, how do you know who you're throwing to?
I would bet that you couldn't be a quarterback if you were colorblind. For that reason, I would guess.
Well, that's discrimination.
That's not what we're saying either.
Oh, no?
Nope.
Okay.
Not at all.
So what is it like? I mean, we all take for granted that we can see most colors, but what is it like for you if you've got, I guess there's red, green, and then there's also blue, yellow. Are those the only two kinds of colorblind that there are?
Isn't there complete colorblindness? I don't
know. Are there people who just see everything in black and white?
I don't know.
See, I don't know the answer to any of these questions. Let's take Steve real quick before the break. He's on line two. He's in Northridge. He's up at 1-800-520-1067. He is our first colorblind listener. Hey, Steve, thanks for calling. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
I'm doing well. So I watched the game. As you guys are describing, it is kind of hard to tell the difference. Green field obviously doesn't help. But, no, I don't see gray and shades like that. I do see color. But those two colors look almost the same.
Oh, now that's interesting.
But do they both look sort of gray or no? They just look the same?
No, I see red and I see green, but they're both just dark colors. And in my mind, I just see one red or one green. I don't necessarily notice that there's two. Like if it's a blue and a purple, I could guess either one because one, I don't care. And two, they're so close, it could be either one.
Huh. So did it impact your ability to watch and enjoy that game?
Well, thankfully there were other games on as well, but I did watch it for a short while, and it was frustrating, and then I just moved on. So, yeah, it did impact my enjoyment, certainly.
I don't think there were other games on because it was the Thursday night NFL game, right?
Yeah. There's other sports.
Yeah, okay. So I switched to hockey or something.
There you go. All right, well, that's the card there. What's the biggest problem in your day-to-day life, football aside, with being colorblind?
People go, I have to sometimes ask what color a shirt is before I put it on. My wife, who's color sensitive, will clearly tell me what I'm putting on. And then she also she's trying to imagine what it's like to live in my eyes. So she's always trying to describe things to me, imagining what color blindness is, but she has no clue. So when people assume that they know or understand, it also makes it difficult because they're just forecasting what they think each condition is, and everybody's different. Like they said, some people it was worse and some people it was better, but other people assuming they understand makes it difficult because they're just forecasting.
Last question for you, and thank you so much for calling, Steve. Is color sensitive, is that what you call everybody who's not colorblind, or is that something separate from regular sight?
No, my wife went to FITM here in L.A., so she is very keen on color, just her specifically. Mm-hmm. But colorblindness is actually, what was it? It's... there's red, blue, and other things like that, but it's everybody that can see normal just sees normal, but I see close to normal. It's the deciphering of the colors that is such the issue.
Huh. Gotcha. Like all right, man.
My mind sees one thing, and I might say another, but I obviously know it's blue, but I might say purple just because of the lighting.
All right. You're awesome for calling. We really appreciate it, Steve, and thanks so much for listening. 1-800-520-1067. What's it like being colorblind? Tell us more. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. I am finding this very interesting to talk to listeners who are colorblind. We've never discussed this on the Kevin Bean Show before, but it's been in the news lately because of these NFL Color Rush games, I think they're calling them. The Pajama Bowl from last week with the Bills and the Jets. A lot of people watching the game couldn't tell which team was which. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Mike writes in on the Facebook page. I have been being hit it with the, talking about the traffic signals. I am red-green colorblind, and I have to look at the position of the light. Green looks white to me. What screws me up is when the lights are horizontal and not vertical. Hashtag screw colors, he says.
Yeah, screw colors.
Sue writes in, hi, guys, and Allie. My kid's father was color red, green, colorblind. It was very difficult for him. And the parking lot at his office had green lines on it. And one of the coworkers there is also colorblind and can't see the lines to park. So he pulls into a parking lot. The lines are green in between spaces, and he can't tell where to go.
I'm going to start saying that when I park poorly.
Oh, no, I'm just colorblind.
I didn't see any lines.
All right, let's talk to Dennis. He's in Riverside. He's up first on line three. He's going to give you a real drawback to being colorblind. Dennis, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. What's going on?
Good morning, Kevin. I mean, you guys are awesome. Thank you very much. Put on a great show every day. You guys make my day better.
You're nice. Thank you.
And, no, actually, I've been denied certain jobs because I'm colorblind. And the first time I found out was when I applied for a job with the sheriff's department. Got through the whole 6 months background investigation, the whole kit and caboodle, and then they sent me for my medical review. And at that point, I got to the doctor after all the tests were done. He said, well, unfortunately, we can't offer you employment. I said, why? He's like, well, you're colorblind. So I started laughing. I said, you're kidding, right? He said, no, remember that test where we showed you different circles with colored dots in it, and you were supposed to tell us what number was in there, and you could only pick two of the 14. I said, yeah, there was no number there. He said, no, there was. You just couldn't see it because you're red, green, colorblind.
Wow.
And so you had no idea?
How about a heads up before you go through 6 months?
Yeah. And, you know, they do those kind of tests when you're a kid, and I remember seeing those, but I don't remember anyone ever telling me, oh, hey, by the way, you got a color issue.
Wow.
So found out you were colorblind?
That's when I found out. So I was crushed. I did a bunch of research, and they do make lenses that will help you aid attack a red-tinted lens. They make it both in an eyeglass form and a hard contact lens that will help you differentiate the colors. Oh. However, the law enforcement, it's called POST, Police Officer Standards and Training, up in Sacramento, every department's supposed to abide by this, so they get certain funding. Well, their standards say you cannot use any kind of color-aided lenses during the training, which for me doesn't make sense because if you are blind as a bat, you can get glasses and still be an officer. But if you have a color issue, you know, if you drop your glasses and you can't see, it's the same thing if you drop your glasses and you can't really tell red from green.
Speaking of law enforcement, what do you see when a cop comes up behind you when he's got his lights on? You just see, red.
Actually, that one I see, I start smelling the crap that just sold my pants. So.
Okay. All right.
All right. That's fascinating, Dennis. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Mark in Covina. Now, he has the kind of job that I would imagine you would need to be able to differentiate between colors, but he's colorblind. Let's find out how that works. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, party people?
You're colorblind, and you do what?
I work for a telephone company.
Right.
Okay. I do extensive wiring, so everything in wiring is color coordinated.
And you can't tell them apart?
I work mainly with wiring that has a blue pair, brown, green, and orange. Mm-hmm. And it really depends on the lighting. Most of the time, green looks more closer to orange for me, and I literally have to hold it about an inch away from my face to tell the difference.
I do not want you on my
bomb squad.
Yeah.
You're able to do your job though well.
If I have proper lighting, so I have like a little headlamp.
Okay.
All right. Well,
so I'm working with that. It helps.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Joey, line 8, Long Beach. Joey also has a problem with his job with colorblindness, and he's figured out a way around it. Joey, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
Good,
yeah, I'm red green colorblind with a blue yellow deficiency as well.
Oh, Joey.
You've got it all.
You're a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty bad. I used to work at a laboratory where we did PCR, which is polymerase chain reaction.
Same.
And one of the things we had to do was take a colorblind test where they make you look at the circles, and I failed. And you had to get, there's like 20, maybe 25 colors. I think I got 4 right out of the 25. So they called me back into the human resources office, and I had already had a look at the paper where they had, you know, shown the colors and the answers. So I wrote it on a Post-it note where the desk had covered my leg, and I put the Post-it on my leg, and I took the test right in front of her.
So
and
you cheated.
I passed. I cheated, yes.
It's pretty well done, though. I got to be honest. That's pretty well done.
Yeah, it was pretty good, yeah. But people who say that they can't see stoplights, you can see the colors. It's when they're in the circles that when they get all jumbled in your brain, you just can't, you know?
It does not sound like fun being colorblind. I have to be honest.
Well, you were looking into it, Bean?
Well, I was thinking about getting some.
I was thinking about getting me some, but now I think I'm going to cancel that order.
Thank you for the call. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:53.
First day.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
It's my candle-blowing birthday.
That's right. It's my candle-blowing birthday.
Yeah. Ralph Garman is celebrating his birthday today here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, thanks for coming in, by the way.
Oh, my pleasure.
Just saying, a lot of people, you know, they go, oh, birthday. I'm not working. That's BS, man.
Oh, no, that's tomorrow. Tonight, when I lacerate my liver, I'm going to be, coming down with something tomorrow morning.
Oh, you don't look so good, Ralph.
No, I'm not well. I don't want to get the rest of you sick, so I might take tomorrow
morning. That's
nice.
That's considerate.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we are not only going to talk to Miss Double December 2015, our beautiful friend Ashley, to talk about what it's like being Miss Double December as her reign is getting ready to come to an end in a few weeks, sadly. But we also are going to give you a free trip to Las Vegas, including airfare, hotel, and spending cash. How about that? Not a qualifying deal. You will win a trip to Las Vegas courtesy of the film Creed in theaters November 25th. That's going to be in about 30 minutes from right now, a little less than that, on the Kevin and Bean Show. So stick around. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's up?
This social media is really anything but. It's making us antisocial, less social, and certainly more cruel. Feel bad for Ariel Winter, who is a lovely and talented actress from Modern Family, who is 17 years old. Bean?
I'm sorry.
Wrong bell?
Did not...
You could look it up on the internet. It's up there somewhere.
Yes. Her age is on the internet, yes. Who is a lovely and talented, not only on Modern Family, but my daughter loves her as the voice of Sophia the First on Disney Channel. She's an animated...
I guess I'm thinking of the other Modern Family daughter, I guess.
I don't know what
this
you're
is the
thinking.
Young one.
I don't want to know. I don't want to go into that
no,
dark,
you don't.
I don't want to go into that dark crawl space you call a brain and find out what you're thinking. But she is just lovely, and she put a photo up on her Instagram, like 17-year-old girls do, of her with her nieces. They were boating on a family vacation, and she took a photo of her and her two little nieces and put it up on Instagram. Here's the thing. She was wearing a bikini in the photograph, and you would think the internet had never seen such a thing before. So they went off, and she got a deluge of hateful comments, everything from you're asking for it,
wow,
which is creepy beyond words.
Worse than creepy.
To a two-piece bikini isn't what a 17-year-old should be wearing, and just hatred and
just when.
Sleazy comments just abounded. And good for her for not taking it. Lying down, she released the following statement. It's long. I won't give you all of it. But she just basically said, who knew that an innocent photo with my nieces would turn into this? The height of a girl's skirt or whatever she's wearing, for that matter, does not imply that she is asking for it. It sickens me to think that at 17 years old, a photo of myself with my nieces is suggesting that I'm asking for it. I typically never give power to the mean things people bravely say behind their computer screens on the internet. But this is for the girls who are constantly bullied, whether it be online or at school. And she goes on to talk about believe in yourself, express yourself. You are beautiful. Celebrate you, and don't let anyone's comments allow you to think less of yourself. So good for her for saying something. Because
what? Gosh, it's not like the internet to go crazy about something small and stupid.
As a father of a daughter, I'm terrified by what she's going to face as she becomes a young woman and a teenager, and the pressure that... Women have always felt, girls have always been put through it, but never to the extent now that they've got this, it's like a James Bond villain weapon of hatred that this internet, used to be bad enough girls would go to school and junior high and stuff and get picked on by other girls in their class, but now this death ray.
Of badness
yeah. That they're subjected to. It's just tragic and sad.
Allie, let me ask you this. Is it as bad from other women as it is from men?
Oh, absolutely.
It is.
What do you think that's about?
I don't know. I can't even imagine saying things to another woman that you know would hurt you. That, to me, is worse than when, let's be honest, men are stupid.
Right?
You guys say
that's what I'm
stupid
trying. Hey, wait a minute.
Stuff. But when another woman says it, it somehow hurts more.
Yeah.
Because we should know better.
Right.
But
there seems to be a kill or be killed attitude sometimes
when
twisted. It comes to women online, and I don't get it at all. But let's try to be nicer to each other, especially Ariel Winter, because she seems like a nice kid. She already had to go through so much because she developed large breasts early in her life as a young teen. And she got an enormous amount of negative attention because of that and everything, so much so that she had a reduction. Probably other reasons she had a reduction as well. But, I mean, this girl has been put through the ringer, and she's not even 18 years old yet.
Yeah.
I just feel bad. I feel good, however, for Jason Bartley. Congratulations to Jason, 38-year-old Jason Bartley from Ohio. Here's the thing. If you take nothing else away from the Kevin and Bean Show, know that Hot Pockets will save your life.
Okay.
Let's let that truth be known.
Hot Pockets will save your life.
Yes. Jason was just finishing running some errands in Akron, Ohio. He decided to head home. But then he said, I have to have a Hot Pocket. I'm not going to be able to survive tonight if I don't get me a Hot Pocket. And one of those good ones, too, by the way. Like the pepperoni, not the crappy one. So he pulls off his way home. He pulls off and heads to the dollar store. He just loads up on Hot Pockets. And he gets back on the road, makes his way home. And when he got to his house, it was engulfed in flames.
Wow.
It turns out that a small plane had crashed into his home.
Wow.
While he was on his way home.
Wow.
If he had not stopped for the Hot Pockets, he would have arrived home about a half an hour earlier and been inside the house when the plane struck it.
Do you think that's just dumb luck?
No, Kevin. It's the magic of Hot Pockets.
So
if you don't see
go,
that, I feel sad for you.
Don't go straight home today is your advice.
Right.
Stop and get some Hot Pockets on the way.
Get yourself some Hot Pockets. What's the worst that can happen? You're at home with a delicious Hot Pocket.
Right?
That's the worst case scenario. Best case scenario, you avoid aviation disaster.
It's a good tip.
The worst thing can happen is you enjoy a Hot Pocket.
Mm. I can't find any fault in that argument.
I'd go for a Hot Pocket right now. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Rachel McAdams is 37 years old today. Actress Leslie Bibb, she's 41. She's lovely and talented, Leslie Bibb, by
she's
the way.
She's great.
Lauren Michaels, Saturday Night Live creator, producer, legend, 71 years old today, as is actor Danny DeVito. Martin Scorsese, 73 years old. Scorsese, by the way, directing a new film about 17th century Jesuit priests.
Yes!
Kevin, finally.
Finally.
Kevin's been dying for a good Jesuit priest movie.
Finally, a Jesuit
priest
Spanish.
Movie. They're Spanish Jesuit priests. Of course. So they got everything going for it. It's called Silence. But Liam Neeson is the star.
Mm.
And remember the tabloids for the past month or so have been having a field day with him saying, oh, is he sick? Does he have cancer or something? Because
he's lost a lot of weight. Yeah.
Lost so much weight. Turns out he was losing weight for this role but wasn't allowed to talk about it.
Wow, no kidding.
He's fine. He's going to be in a new movie directed by Martin Scorsese. He's 73 years old. And singer Gordon Lightfoot.
Right? It's such a bonus to have the anniversary of the wreck last week and then Gordon Lightfoot's birthday this week.
You're going to force me to leave his name off the list. Is that what you want?
Fitzgerald,
is that what you
twofer.
Want, Dean?
Sing it if you know it.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down. At the big lake they call Gitchagoo.
Wow!
Gordon's lesser-known hits. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this week.
Let's talk about Charlie Sheen, shall we?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, now we can.
Am I on?
Yep.
Okay. We should open up the phones right now if you want that trip to Las Vegas that we were talking about. The round trip, airfare, hotel, $500 spending cash brought to you by Creed in theaters everywhere November the 25th, plus tickets to the K-Rock Advanced screening of Creed at the AMC Orange this Thursday. We are looking for... Well, I guess you should be a fan of the Rocky movies, but you don't need any knowledge of the Rocky movies this time around for this game. I will say no more. All right. So if you want
to but don't need to know anything about it.
Exactly. That's correct. Like yesterday, you needed to have seen the Rocky movies, okay, because of the nature of the game. Not the case today. But be a fan of the Rocky movies. Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. If you want to see the new film Creed and win a free trip to Las Vegas, we're taking your calls right now. That game will be played in about 10 minutes.
All right. Let's talk about Charlie Sheen. This is breaking news today. He went on the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see this coming?
Not at all.
I don't watch the news because...
You're a kid.
I'm a kid.
Well, we saw coming in that we had heard rumors just in the last couple of days that he was going to make a personal announcement. And I think there are probably some people who guessed, look, I'm not surprised that the guy who has lived the way Charlie Sheen has lived for the last 40 years became HIV positive. That doesn't surprise me at all. The shocker for me is is hearing him talk about the millions of dollars that he paid out to, because he was being blackmailed with that from people wanting to make that information go public. That was the shocker to me. But it was a very riveting interview. It happened this morning on the Today Show. We do have some highlights for you.
I'm here to admit that I am, in fact, HIV positive. And I have to put a stop to this onslaught, this barrage of attacks and of sub-truths and very very harmful and mercurial stories that are about the threatening the health of so many others, which couldn't be farther from the truth.
I want to talk about those in a second. How many people have you told about this?
I've told enough that I trusted to be in the position and the situation that I'm in today.
The people you thought you could trust at the time?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
How long have you known about this? When were you diagnosed?
Roughly 4 years ago. Yeah. It started with what I thought, based on this series of cluster headaches and insane migraines and sweating the bed completely drenched 2-3 nights in a row, that I was emergency hospitalized. I thought I had brain tumor. I thought it was over. After a battery of tests and spinal taps, all that crap, they walked in the room and said, "Boom, here's what's going on." It's a hard three letters to absorb, you know. It's a turning point in one's life.
4 years you have been trying to keep this secret.
Yeah.
And you have said that you have been the victim of betrayal and extortion. You told me that a lot of people have actually demanded money to stay silent about this.
That is true. Yeah. And I have paid those people. Not that many, but enough to where it is depleted the future.
How many people have you paid?
I don't want to guess wrong, but enough to bring it into the millions.
You wrote this to me in a letter and shared it with me yesterday. In and around this perplexing and difficult time, I dazedly chose or hired the companionship of unsavory and insipid types. I'm imagining prostitutes. Regardless of their saltless reputations, I always led with condoms and honesty when it came to my condition. Were these people that you had had sexual contact with and were claiming that you had transmitted the virus to them? Or were these people who simply found out about your status and were threatening to tell the world?
More the latter.
I want to read you something else from the letter you handed me. You said, this is after the time of your diagnosis. The personal disbelief, karmic confusion, shame, and anger led to a temporary yet abysmal descent into profound substance abuse and fathomless drinking. Was this that whole tiger blood winning period in your life? Was that a result, that meltdown we saw, a reaction to your diagnosis?
I wish I could blame it on that. That was more of a roid rage. But this was on the heels of that, let me say, yeah.
And when you say shame in that, the stigma...
Sure.
That is attached to this diagnosis is one of the worst parts about it. People don't take action. They don't get help because of that stigma.
Sure.
Do you still feel that stigma?
Not anymore. I don't. No, I don't. No, I have a responsibility now to better myself and to help a lot of other people. And hopefully with what we're doing today, others may come forward and say, thanks, Charlie. Thanks for kicking the door open, you know.
Wow, interesting. By the way, Matt Lauer, nice job of that interview, too. These people who blackmailed him, is that against the law? Can they – doesn't it seem
extortion,
like that should be illegal?
Sure. Yeah.
Extortion is against the law, right?
Yeah.
Now that it's out there in the open, he should go after those people who got all that money from him.
Yeah, did you read someplace it was up to $10 million?
Yes, that's what I heard. Up to $10 million that he paid out. And as Ralph pointed out earlier today, I mean, for him, he had that much money. He's a very, very wealthy man. He probably thought it was worth it to avoid the hassle of what's, you know, probably going to come now. But this is so much better way to do it, for him to come out and do it this way rather than have it be on the front page of the tabloids and then have it be speculated about and rumored about. There's nothing for him to be ashamed or embarrassed about. It's a medical condition that he is going to get treatment with and is probably going to be fine and live a very healthy, normal life for the rest of his life. That's the beauty of being 2015 right now. is that it's not the death sentence that it once was.
What do you think he meant when he was saying that it wasn't this that was the tiger's blood in the winning, but it was roid rage? Does he take roids for something?
Yes. Yes.
For
he
what?
He was taking a lot of steroids. I don't know. What was he... Why was he doing it? I don't know.
Huh.
He never has struck me as a fitness addict. I mean,
nope.
He looks to me like a guy who really most of his meals are liquid. But apparently that's what it was. And I'm wondering if, those needles led to his HIV positive status or is it from the ladies? We don't know. We don't know the answer to that. Not that that matters either.
Well, that's sort of shocking.
Huh. We're all just staring at each other right now.
I don't really know what to say.
Well... Most of us are trying to think back if we've ever been with Charlie Sheen.
I don't think that's what most of us.
Hey!
Come on, Bean. We all had it there. That time we all had it.
We're all there.
All of us.
Hey.
One guy ruined it.
Come on, man. Get it together.
That guy.
Hey, what about Las Vegas?
It's good.
The city in Nevada?
What kind of a question is that?
Legalized gambling?
That's the place. That's right. We are giving away round trip airfare, hotel, spending cash of $500. This is not a drawing. This is a you win it right now thing brought to you by our friends behind the movie Creed. The latest in the Rocky Balboa saga. It's in theaters everywhere on November the 25th. Plus, we'll throw in a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advance screening of Creed at the AMC Orange this Thursday.
Oh, great.
Hey, Sylvester Stallone.
I can't wait to see that movie. It's going to be great, you know?
Yeah, well, you're in it, of course.
Yeah, I'm in it.
Right.
Because I'm Rocky Balboa, you know?
That's right.
Southpaw, you know, South Jersey.
Right.
You know, Southpaw, left-handed.
Right. Well, you are one of the most famous Rockies in the world, and that brings me to the topic for today's game. It is called Famous Rockies.
So do all you know your most famous Rockies, because one's a raccoon and one is ice cream. Will you be able to name one of the many most famous Rockies? Famous Rockies. Famous Rockies. Famous Rockies. Famous Rockies. Tell us, do you know? Some of the most famous Rockies.
Okay. All right.
Seems like a guy's giving away answers in the theme.
It kind of does,
yeah. It's like the best way, you know, have a contest where you have to guess things.
All right, you know? Sylvester, before you came in, I just want to recap a conversation that we have, which was, should we listen to the intro? And then Bean said...
You said no?
No, I trust Beer Mug.
Right.
So... Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. So the one guy who's got Asperger's trusts the other guy who's an idiot.
Yes.
Right. That's correct.
That's what happened.
And then you said, all right, well, I'll trust you, Asperger's
guy.
Yes,
sort of did, yeah.
Because I believe that your judgment about the idiot is right.
All right. So a couple of clues ahead of the game, but that's all right. So the callers are on the line.
This is a fixed fight. This is a fixed fight. What is this? You want me to throw a fight? You want me to throw a fight?
Sylvester Stallone is going to be giving you a question or a clue. You're going to identify the famous Rocky. That's what we're doing. Who's our first up here this morning, Sly?
First up is Xavier.
Xavier.
Yeah.
Or Javier.
He's
Xavier.
All right, Xavier it is.
All right, here's your question, okay?
Okay.
This little guy was a star of a hit animated TV series along with his sidekick, Bullwinkle J. Moose.
Okay.
Who was this guy? Who was the star of this cartoon? And his friend.
Rocky.
His friend was Bullwinkle.
Is it Rocky?
Well,
that's not enough. I
need a little bit more than that to have the whole answer to make it, you know, right.
Is Rocky and Bullwinkle the movie series or the cartoon series?
Right, but Rocky was a
raccoon.
No, he was not.
Sorry.
Looking for Rocky the Flying Squirrel.
The Flying Squirrel.
Squirrel flew.
Right. All right. Thank you,
like
Xavier.
Crazy.
Appreciate that.
I didn't know they could fly. And no wings or nothing.
It was a cartoon. How about our next contestant, Sly?
Oscar. You know, I made a movie called Oscar.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
One of your best, right?
It was the best movie that nobody ever saw.
Hey,
all right. Here's your question, Oscar. Rakim Mayers is a rapper and an actor from Harlem, New York, you know. And he released a debut mixtape in 2011 that made him a star, but he's better known by his stage name. What's his stage name?
Rakim?
Well, that's not a terrible guess. It's not a Rocky either.
Not a terrible guess. It's not right.
It's not right. It's not Rocky.
But it's not terrible. No.
ASAP Rocky.
Hello?
Okay. All right. That over Oscar two. Was as successful as my movie Oscar was.
That's a tough category today.
I didn't
today,
think so, but it is, apparently.
Famous Rockies.
It's hard.
All right. Maybe we need mugs to give away some more clues.
All right, Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah, personal trainer. Yeah. Let's train together. Take some human growth hormones, you know?
All right, bro.
Here you go. This real-life American boxer held the world heavyweight title from 1952 to 1956. He was undefeated in his career. What's his name? Real boxer.
This is an American boxer, right?
Yeah, American boxer, yeah.
That'd be Rocky Graziano.
Oh, no.
That
was pretty close.
Graziano.
Yeah, that's what we were looking for. But
second,
thank you for playing
second
anyway.
Time, you know. Yeah. Graziano was a heavyweight.
You could have beat him, though, right, Sly?
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're almost out of time, but let's see what
famous Rockies was so hard.
Your next contestant is up. Let's see what he's got.
All right, Andy.
Yeah,
Andy.
Yeah.
All right. Here's your question, Andy. Tim Curry, Susan Sarandon, Barry Boswick, and Meatloaf all recently celebrated the 40th anniversary of this musical comedy film, which features this song.
I'm just a sweet transvestite. I'm transsexual. Transylvania.
Yeah. That guy was hot. In his fishnet stockings. What
Andy,
was the name
the
of the movie? Hey, I'm getting to it, Bean.
Sorry.
Give me a chance to ask a question.
Sorry.
In a big hurry. You got a ferry to catch?
Well, you talk kind of slow sometimes.
Well, just asking a question. What's the name of the movie?
Oh, boy.
Oh, come on.
Wow.
I took a lot of shots to the head, but I know it was Rocky Marciano.
Rocky Marciano, he said.
Come on.
All right.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
You've heard of that, right?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, you have. Okay. You know it.
All right. Sudden death, right?
I think we're at sudden death.
Whoever gets
I'm
the next
to
has to win it,
That's
I think.
That's right.
Rudy!
Yo!
Yo, Rudy. All right, I got a question for you, all right? This flavor of ice cream is traditionally composed of chocolate ice cream, nuts, and marshmallows. What's the name of it?
Rocky Road.
Hey, you got a winner! Yo, Rudy, you did it!
All right.
You are going to Las Vegas, the one in Nevada. That's the good one. Round trip, airfare, hotel, and $500 spending cash, courtesy of the film's Creed. It's in theaters everywhere November 25th, and we'll give you a chance to see the movie this Thursday night in Orange. Thanks for playing Famous Rockies.
Famous Rockies.
It is the most wonderful time of the year, and it has nothing to do with the birth of baby Jesus. It has to do with Kevin and Bean's Miss Double December pageant, which is coming up fast. Give me a little of that theme song as we prepare to talk to our current Miss Double December 2015 and tell you what you need to know if you'd like to be Miss Double December 2016.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December. She's an angel, and just look at those cans. She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my f*** is hard.
Yay!
Hey, Ashley.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good, thank you.
Why do you make that noise,
Kevin? Because your Ashley,
it
went really south. Very creepy.
Me being excited to talk to our girl. We haven't talked to her in a couple of months.
Yeah, but you said, hey, Ashley.
It wasn't.
Hey, what's up?
Did you get creepy out of my hello or not, Ashley?
No, definitely not.
No, you're just being nice.
Thank you.
Well, Ashley, we're glad to have you on, and we're excited that we're going to be seeing you again in a couple of weeks when we do the live broadcast on December 4th. But one of the things I wanted to ask you is, what about the ladies who are listening to this right now? They're on their way to work or school, and they're thinking, I don't know if I want to do it. I don't know if it's worth it. Take me back a year to the mindset you were in when you heard about the pageant.
It's definitely worth it. It's a blast. All the events that you get to go to. I think my fondest memory was meeting Marilyn Manson in studio with you guys.
That's right.
And he did a little air squeeze. I don't know if anybody else remembers that, but it was very
air squeeze.
Yeah, he did like a little boob air squeeze.
Sure.
I don't know if anybody else caught it, but it was the greatest moment of my life.
Who was it that was it System of a Down that we introduced you to at the Acoustic Christmas right after you'd won last year too, right?
Yeah, well, you guys actually let me sit in on the interview at Almost Acoustic, and that was really awesome.
Yeah, because I know you love them.
Yeah. That was just amazing.
So it's a weenie roast. It's Acoustic Christmas. It's the Kevin Bean Singles Party, although I don't think we had one this year.
We didn't have one.
It's April Foolishness, the breakfast with all the fun stuff. You get to be a part of the family. Now, do you remember how you heard about the pageant last year, Ashley, and what put you over the edge to apply?
Well, I actually worked at Sidebar, so being in there, so just hearing about it. Being able to go to all the shows, I think, was one of the biggest things that I got excited about. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, it's just really exciting.
Tell people what about your personality and the things that you enjoy doing, which is not necessarily just straight modeling. You're into a lot of different stuff.
Well, no, modeling, I would not say, is a strong point of mine. I do mainly, like, well, not recently, but dirt bike racing, dirt bike outdoors. All those activities, which I think I'm the first Miss Double D that wasn't kind of a model, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean that was fun to see some of the stuff you did. Did you do a K-Rock thing at Big Bear too at some point?
I didn't make it. No, because I was working two jobs. So
gotcha. How about the process of what it was like going through, like when you got called to be top 10? Were you nervous to know that you were going to come in and be interviewed on the radio for the first time?
Yes, I'm still nervous just being on air right now.
But how charming and handsome were Kevin and Bean? And that was a big surprise for you when you came down, right?
Dear God.
I'm trying to put the word out there that it seems scary, but it's not. I feel like we do a pretty nice job of making the ladies feel welcome when they come in.
It's really exciting. It's fun. It's just high energy. A lot of laughs. I think we had a lot of laughs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Say more good stuff about us. tell us more stuff you didn't get to do. Bean, you're ruining this interview. Every question you ask sucks.
What about the pageant? What do you remember from that morning? Was it super cold when you were out there in a bikini at 6 a.m.?
Come on, Bean.
Yeah, tell us about the bikini time.
I actually watched the video driving home from Tahoe last night. And that was about the most that I remember was watching it happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun getting ready with all the girls in the morning.
Go
the
on.
The talents are the most exciting.
Bean's listening.
It must be so tough back there in that trailer with you and all those other models having to change clothes so fast in between events, right? I mean, that's got to just be real tough.
Yeah, and I mean, it's cold, so you have to, like, get clothes.
Now we're talking.
I'm just kidding.
All right, so if you want to be Miss Double December 2016.
If you want Bean to talk to you like this.
How dare you? You must be 21 or over. You can fill out the form available now at krock.com. Upload a couple of photos of yourself. And the crowning ceremony is going to be coming up once again at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton, which is our home for many years for the pageant on December 4th. Ashley, by the way, do you still work there?
I do not. I moved to Temecula, so I'm actually really far south now.
Okay. But
do you still decorate cupcakes with your boobs? That was your talent, right?
Not with my boobs, but I am working on launching Princess Pastries, which is birthday cakes and desserts and
all kinds of
good things.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
So I may have some cupcakes on the 4th.
All right.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right. Well, you have been a great Miss Double December, and I do hope, like some of the others in the past, I do hope you will continue to stay in touch with the Kevin Bean Show and always consider yourself part of the family, because we don't want to lose touch with you.
Definitely. No, you guys have been amazing.
Tell us more about ourselves.
All right, Ashley. We love you. We'll see you on the 4th, okay?
Okay, thank you, guys.
Bye.
Thank you. We can't let Bean talk to the women, right?
Ever.
What are you talking about?
We can't let him talk in any
way. Line
of
questioning. How dare you?
Hey, if you want to see that.
Yeah, here's an idea. Don't stuff your face 30 seconds before the mics go live.
Right, but I didn't know Bean was going to ask me to come out and talk about the Christmas.
How much more time could you have had? You would have had to speak eventually.
Yeah, maybe I took too big of a bite.
If only someone give you a heads up that you had the...
Yeah, shut up, Chip. Only you knew you were going to be on the air.
They're one of the bands playing this year's
K-Rock. You just not give a rat's ass anymore.
Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015, which is Saturday and Sunday night, December 12th and 13th. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon. You have to be a K-Rock Street team member.
All right. Details at KROQ.com. Hey, we have an update on that Kevin Amin listener from a couple of weeks ago who called us because he had tapeworm larva in his brain. Remember that guy, Ivan? Mm-hmm. Got an update on what's going on with him and his attempt to get treatment. Why are you yaying it? That sounds like good news that we're trying to help him.
It's not what I want to listen to while I'm eating breakfast. That's just me.
So finish up your breakfast like I did just now.
Listener Edwin writes in, and we did mention the story earlier this morning about on one of my birthdays years ago on the show, Kevin and Bean set me up in a motel room and invited female listeners to come down and have sex with him.
Those were the good old days,
It worked. Listener Edwin writes in, so before, Kevin and Bean broadcasted Ralph getting laid. Now it's Mexican tapeworms? I don't think that's an improvement.
Big step down?
He's got a point.
You bet.
He's got a point. Maybe it's not quite as entertaining as it used to be, but what are you going
to
do?
We're just trying to help Ivan and his tapeworms, so we'll talk about that coming up.
You're better off when you're helping me with my worm than Ivan and his worm.
First, though, it's time for another birthday edition of Ralph Garvin's Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Speaking of sex, hey, if you had sex with Charlie Sheen in the past couple of years, I don't know, get yourself to a physician, I guess. Get yourself checked out. Charlie Sheen on the Today Show this morning did an interview with Matt Lauer where he came forward and admitted, well, I'll let Charlie tell you.
You know there are a lot of rumors out there right now, and you would like to address them head on, so I'll give it to you. Go ahead.
I have to, yeah. I'm here to admit that I am, in fact, HIV positive. I have to put a stop to this onslaught, this barrage of attacks and of sub-truths and very very harmful and mercurial stories that are about the threatening the health of so many others, which couldn't be farther from the truth.
Yeah, rumors were starting to leak about this story, so Charlie, I guess, assumed he had to get ahead of it and get on the Today Show and do an interview with Matt Lauer to get the truth out there. He says he was diagnosed roughly 4 years ago. It's when he first found out that he had been exposed to the HIV virus, and his doctor was on there as well, saying although Charlie does test positive for the HIV virus, he does not have AIDS. And Charlie says that it is impossible for him to have transmitted the virus to any of his sex partners. Which, being a doctor, I guess he would know that. He also says that he was being extorted by various prostitutes and porn stars who he would have sex with, and he would admirably and appropriately inform them of his status before they had sex. And then what they would do is they would take that information and come back to him and blackmail him, saying, if you don't pay me X number of dollars, I'm going to go forward with this information and spread it to the tabloids and the media.
If you can't trust the hookers that are coming to your house,
right?
Who can you trust?
Whatever happened to the ones with the hearts of gold? Are they still out anymore? There used to be hookers with hearts of gold.
Like a monkey.
Like a monkey. And there was one, apparently, tells a story to Matt Lauer, right after one of his encounters with her, went into his restroom and then took photos of his antiviral drugs and his prescription pills and was going to sell those pictures to the
That's crazy.
Tabloid if he didn't pay up a certain amount of money. Charlie estimates he spent in the millions of dollars paying these people off. And now that all ends today. So he has come forward and...
Did he talk in the interview about what his prognosis is like health-wise?
He's on medication, and the count of the virus is apparently very low in his bloodstream, so he's maintaining nicely. But
that's good.
He says he has no idea how he contracted the virus. But look, when you live the life that he has, I guess it would be hard to pin down any one particular incident or
right. Yeah, true.
Or maybe he was drinking that tiger blood. Maybe he shouldn't have had all that. Maybe the tiger was unwell. I don't know, but well, I hope him. I hope he is now. That he says a large part of his spiral into drug addiction and alcohol abuse and risky behavior was because of his depression and his reaction to the news once he was diagnosed. And so I'm hoping maybe that has been lifted off of his shoulders now that he's come forward. Maybe he can get himself some help and get healthy again. So. There you go. Steve Harvey's got some pretty nice problems.
What are his problems?
Well, he's been slapped with a lawsuit by a company that claims he backed out of a deal to lease a private jet.
Okay.
He asked them to give his private jet a spruce up. It cost them $400,000 to clean up the cabin, reupholster some furniture, things like that. And then he had a change of heart and he backed out of the deal.
Almost $500,000 spruce up?
Yeah. He wanted the custom interior and have it look nice, and that was the deal.
And they did it?
They did it. They made his private jet look nice, and they said, I don't want it. I don't want that private jet after all. So they're asking him to pony up at least $200,000 to pay for a share of the improvements made to the jet.
Sounds reasonable.
I'd like to have a problem where I'm in an argument with my own private jet company and talking about how my jet's going to look.
Right?
That'd be all right. I could deal with that problem. Christmas right around the corner.
Yay! Oh.
Wow. First time Allie perked up all day.
Yeah, really. Hasbro says if you don't have your Star Wars toys, you may be in big trouble.
Mm. Taint Wars.
No, Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Oh, sorry.
Those toys are very different.
CEO says they're going fast as adult collectors are clearing the shelves in stores to hoard all the toys before Star Wars The Force Awakens debuts on December the 18th. This is leaving parents with a problem because they're starting their Christmas shopping and they're finding out many of the toys their kids are asking for are already gone. Because the Rolands of the world are sitting with them stocked three deep of everything in their basement. So,
should we talk to Roland? Because
maybe he can, maybe he'll sell some off.
He's got a lucrative eBay business going on.
That's right.
He's buying all the toys he can.
Meanwhile, Hot Topic just released their Star Wars clothing line.
Taint Wars.
No, Star Wars.
Star Wars. Again, a very different clothing line.
The company has teamed up with Her Universe, a company which was founded by a voice actress named Ashley Eckstein. And she's also in Star Wars Rebels. She's one of the voices in that show. She decided to do the clothing, which involves a Princess Leia dress, a BB-8 and Boba Fett bomber jackets.
Nice.
R2-D2 sweater and a Darth Vader dress.
Yeah. Allie, you're going to have to go to Hot Topic.
It will.
Okay.
Darth Vader dress.
Get your Darth Vader dress.
I have one, but this will be
one for your collection.
How dare you?
At some point, we need to go through what Allie owns in the Star Wars world, because it's a lot.
She is a secret little geek. She's got all this stuff going on, and once in a while, you'll get something out of her. It's like, well, yes, I've got the embroidered May the Force Be With You pillows on my couch at home.
Well, it's Empire Strikes Back. I love you, I know. With silhouettes of Han and Leia.
Sure.
As you do.
Mm-hmm. Hey, are you wearing your ring today?
I am not.
Oh, you're not wearing your Darth Vader ring.
Mm. Yeah.
How'd you do with trying to spruce up your shoes, your Star Wars shoes that you got?
I'm devastated.
Did you hear this crisis, Ralph?
No,
while you were gone last week.
What happened?
I ordered.
This is a colossal disaster.
And it really
it is. Oh no!
I ordered these shoes, special edition Star Wars flats online.
Sure.
Han Solo
like
on one, Princess Leia on the other. bought them in my size, thinking they're flats. What's the problem?
Right.
They're gonna fit.
I'm with you, sister.
They flop right off my feet.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
But wait, there's more. I called the company. They're like, no, you're going to have to find someone that has them. They've been sold out. We can't find them anywhere.
See, like the toys are flying off
right.
the shelves.
So I bought inserts. Nothing. Oh, I've been trying reverse speed binding. I've been cobbling.
Build a ramp.
There's a lot happening.
You're like Steve Harvey.
It's true.
You're going to have $500,000 to get your flats spruced up and then back out of the deal.
Very concerning.
It's not really.
It is.
No, they're just
awesome.
Shoes.
Oh, they're so good.
So what happens if you can't wear them? Are you just going to put them in some sort of display case in your home?
Probably.
You gotta do something with them, right?
Yeah.
He's preoccupied with the moment in the Star Wars canon where Leia and Solo say they love you to each other before he gets frozen in carbonite.
Well, yeah, it changed my life, really, that moment.
That moment, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you find that most of the men in your life would rather be frozen in carbonite than continue a relationship with you?
A lot of them don't respond with, I love you as well. It's right. just, it's, I know.
I know. And then,
and then
they're frozen.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a resonant moment for you.
Glad we tackled
Nothing
that.
Sadder than a woman over 27.
Ain't that the truth? Today's celebrity birthdays. Rachel McAdams is 37 years old today. Leslie Bibb turns 41. Lorne Michaels and Danny DeVito both celebrate their 71st birthdays. Martin Scorsese celebrates his 73rd birthday today. He's working on a new film as we speak about Spanish Jesuit priests. Finally, getting around to that. Hey, Marty, a little less that, a little more gangsters, all right? A little more mob, a little less priests. Unless the priests are like mobsters and they shoot each other. That'd be awesome.
I don't think priests
mob
are.
Mob priests.
That'd be a good show.
Casino in the back of the rectory. You know what I'm saying? Father? Hey, Father! What's in the rectory? Never you mind. Couple shots to the head. Here's your Holy Communion. Maybe I'll make the movie.
You should.
Body of Christ. Body of you in the dumpster! And singer Gordon Lightfoot, 77 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I want the show to be
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42.
Hey, ahead of the last Showbiz Beat, I am reminded that the 52nd Annual Los Angeles Ski Show and Snowboard Expo is coming to town at the Los Angeles Convention Center the weekend of December 4th. We have a four-pack of tickets for Ski Dazzle for you right now, plus a $100 shopping spree at the Ski Dazzle Sale and Swap. Call now, 1-800-520-1067, caller 20, and you will win. Look who it is. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Thank you so much. I'd like to thank the several ladies in the audience.
Oh, did you get some more offers?
No, I didn't get any offers, sadly. I think those days are gone. But I did get some boob pictures.
Oh, that's nice.
Thanks to the ladies who sent me photos of their boobs.
All right.
I greatly appreciate it. And especially that one listener who sent me a whole lot more than just a picture of her boobs.
Wow.
Right? That's what I'm saying. And fellas, don't bother tweeting around saying, hey, share the wealth, dude. Yeah. Nope. Nope. They were enjoyed and then deleted, the way a gentleman should look at a woman's privates. Right?
Right.
Right.
And by deleted, you meant saved.
Nope.
Someplace.
Nope. Discretion. Discretion's the better part of valor, my friends.
I've heard that.
Did you hear Bean talk from Miss Double December?
Oh,
earlier today, did you hear that?
Yeah, my ears will smell that forever.
There was nothing at all creepy about anything that I said to
her. The fact that you don't even know you're being creepy is even creepier.
I didn't say a single thing that was creepy to Miss Double December.
A lot of it wasn't what you said, but how you said it.
Yeah, it's the delivery,
Bean. Yeah.
You're like, hey, if you want to be Miss Double December.
Yeah.
Go on. Tell me more about that. Yeah. What's it like when all the models are changing backstage? When's that?
What's it like?
It was exactly like that.
Look, you did ask about changing with the other models.
Would you guys?
And I don't think that's even a question. Let's talk about it for a while.
That was just because you guys were out for blood, and I was trying to give you something. Because you guys were accusing me of saying creepy things, and I hadn't said anything creepy.
I see.
So you were giving us, you were throwing us a bone, as it were.
Exactly.
Ew.
Would you prefer I don't come to the Miss Devil?
Yep.
Is that what we're talking about?
Is that an option? What, all of a sudden now it's an option? 16 years later, whatever the hell it's been?
Is that what you're saying? Is I can't be trusted around the girls? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that is exactly what we're saying.
It goes without saying.
And yet it brings us a lot of joy to hear you fail.
You can.
So I think you need to be there as well.
KROQ.com. You don't have to be a model. Any pretty regular girl who wants to be a part of the Kevin and Bean Show family for 2016 and go to all the stuff, the singles parties and the April Foolishness and the Weenie Roast and Acoustic Christmas and all the deal, you can go to KROQ.com and register. Close of the show on Friday, by the way, is your deadline. So it's fast approaching. You only have a couple more days to get in. But 21 and over, please. Rob is here now. Time for the last Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I also would like to thank, we were talking about Star Wars in the last Showbiz Beat. I want to thank the many Star Wars fans who reminded me and informed me that on this day, on this very day, on my birthday, back in 1978, was the first and only time the Star Wars Holiday Special was ever
aired. Yay!
So today's actually Life Day, too. Not only is it my birthday, it's Life Day. That's when Han got Chewie back to his hometown so he can hang out with Lumpy. And
Lumpy was my favorite.
You think I'm making this up, but Lumpy.
What?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were just being funny.
Watch it on YouTube. You've never seen it, it's so bad. It's
Star Wars
good.
Holiday Special, where they celebrate Life Day, and Chewie gets home to his wife Mala and their son Lumpy.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is when George Lucas had not learned that he could say no when somebody came to him with a Star Wars spinoff idea, right?
Right. But everybody's in it. Luke's in it, and Leia and Han.
That's legit. I have the album.
Sure.
I have the record album that came from it, too. The soundtrack to it, which has all the songs.
Do they sing? Star Wars characters sing?
That's where they have, isn't that where What Do You Get a Wookiee for Christmas comes from, the special, right?
No.
I've never heard of that.
No, Christmas is never mentioned in the special. They celebrate Life Day in the special.
All right.
So once again, Bean... wrong.
Taint Wars.
Star Wars beat. Star Wars.
Carrie Fisher does sing on it.
Does she?
And you know why she didn't start her own recording career.
Okay.
And also guest stars Jefferson Starship.
What?
They sing a little number on it.
This sounds great.
B. Arthur.
Nope.
B. Arthur is in the special along with Art Carney. And, of course, Harvey Korman in drag. So it has everything.
You are just making stuff up now.
This is a truism. I speak the truth, sir. So happy Life Day to everybody. Just want to give you a heads up. Speaking of heads up, of course, remember in the wake of the tragedy in Paris last Friday, Coldplay aborted the plan to live stream their performance featuring... select material from their new album, A Head Full of Dreams, on Tidal. They decided they were going to postpone that because it was inappropriate to go forward with that project. Well, they have rescheduled, and now they have announced the Make Good show will, in fact, be on Tidal, live-streamed at 8:30 p.m. Pacific time on Saturday, November the 21st.
That's this Saturday.
This Saturday. The show will take place once again at the Blasco Theater in Los Angeles and will be live streamed at Tidal.com. Coldplay will be performing, and they'll play a bunch of stuff from their new album. So if you are a ticket holder or a contest winner from last week's show, you'll be contacted directly by your ticket provider with further information on how you get into this show. But they have rescheduled it, and they are going to go ahead with the scheduled Tidal live stream of the Coldplay show. So.
And they're from Canada.
I'm not pretty sure they're from Canada. The UK there, Rod. But what do I know? More than some. But not as much as others. Let's all feel sorry for Chet Hanks, shall we? Chet Hanks. You may know him best as Chester Hayes. Rapper extraordinaire.
He's the talented one in that family.
That's right. He is the son of Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson. He's been going through a long, difficult time. Disappeared for a while. Famously had some problems with drugs.
Yeah, that's rough.
Well, he posted a video on Instagram explaining it all to us. He's saying it's been a long journey discovering who I am because of all the pressures I've dealt with in my life. Apparently being the son of a rich and famous movie star carries with it pressures that are just too strong to bear. You know how it is when you get sent to Northwestern for your education and you live in the Pacific Palisades. How can anyone be expected to rise above that upbringing? That's what I keep saying. Thanks, Obama.
Right?
Right. So now he is trying to get well, trying to crawl out from under the yoke of poverty, the oppression that he's been carrying for all these years, trying to rise up.
Well, those years where his dad was missing, stranded on that desert island, could have been easy for him.
Oh, man.
Once again, you're confusing.
Sit down.
Okay.
Good news for Allie.
Yep.
Empire now has its own nail polish collection.
Yes.
Yeah.
Finally.
Sweet. So, Allie, when you run out to get your Darth Vader dress at Hot Topic, you can cruise by and pick up your new Empire nail polish. There's just three colors, all of them black. Strange.
Wow.
That's not strange.
Wow.
That's not the case at all. The collection is inspired by Taraji P. Henson's breakout character, Cookie Lion, of course. There is a shimmering fuchsia called Hustle Hard.
Right.
A gold glitter color called Power of Empire. And then a ruby red color called War of the Roses. The collection is limited edition, so you want to rush out right now to Nordstrom and pick up your Empire nail polish.
It sounds racist.
It's not at all. It's just nail polish. And are you ready for more Fast and the Furious movies?
Do we have a choice?
Nope.
The answer for me is yes.
Of course it is.
Love that franchise.
Variety talked to Vin Diesel, and he has confirmed that producers are in the process of developing not only prequels, sequels, but also spin-offs for some of the characters. Dwayne The Rock Johnson has hinted for a while, like to see his character, Luke Hobbs, branch out into his own independent adventures. And Vin says that's a possibility. We've written out storylines for various characters. Really? Have you been? Have you been hard at work writing all those storylines? We've been playing with it for a long time, he says, as if he's in control of the franchise. And
maybe he's a producer on the franchise, maybe? That's what he's talking
that's
about?
That's very possible.
Kevin, look.
Kevin!
I know that you have seen all the Fast and Furious movies.
Yes.
There'll never come a time when you've seen enough. I mean, if they make 10 movies, you're in. If they make 20 movies,
well, I mean, that depends on if they're good.
There's never going to come a point where you go, okay.
The last one was good, I thought.
Seen enough of people driving fast.
No.
Will cars have to be dropped from space? Will that be the next thing for you? They'll just go up in a space shuttle, then they'll drive out the back of the space shuttle and then just plummet
it's
to
like
the Earth.
It's like saying, do you ever want to see another cop show again? It depends on how well it's done. Of course you do.
Okay.
What if they were the same cops over and over again driving the same car? Would that be something you'd want to watch?
Is it really good driving?
It's
and do they
really
jump from
driving.
One sky rise, high rise to another? Do they do that?
Yes.
All right.
Whatever
then
you
I'm
said,
in.
They do.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Shut up, Ralph.
Unless there's a mislock. Then you rush. You missed that yesterday, Kevin.
What's a mislock?
I did have a mislock.
What? Huh?
Bean felt in your absence he had to pick up the moment the moment with Gauntlet.
That's great.
And he did so. And it was
we were talking to an astronaut, and I was trying to explain how the supply vessel was trying to lock with the space station.
Wait, he was trying to explain that, or you
no,
were?
Bean's the one who spent all that time up in space.
Why was he not explaining that?
I think Bean. I was promoting that he was coming on.
Oh,
and I was
I
saying,
see.
Oh, let me tell you about this guy. He saved his life because there was this big accident on the space shuttle when he was up there.
And I got mislock.
I got a little bit turned around in the words that I chose to explain it.
Yeah. So we need to make that a moment.
It's not good.
They were good times.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Kevin. Wait. Happy birthday to Kevin.
No. You're close, Rodney. You're close. Same studio. Oh, sometimes he just narrows in and then just misses it. Just. Rachel McAdams is 37 years old today. Leslie Bibb is 41. SNL legend Lorne Michaels is 71, as is actor Danny DeVito. The Penguin, of course. Let's not forget he was the Penguin.
Sure.
Batman. Returns? That's it. Martin Scorsese is 73 years old. Singer Gordon Lightfoot celebrates his 77th birthday.
Nope. Yeah. Nope.
Asshole.
Right?
Nope. No,
sir. Listener suggested I should have made one request for my birthday gift, just not have to listen to that
song. Oh, that's pretty strong.
Nope. A little late now, I guess.
the big league they call
me. Hey, happy birthday, Ralph Garman.
Thank you so much, Bean. And thanks for making sure the Gitchy Goomy got mentioned in today's show. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Greg Fitzsimmons, comedian, in studio tomorrow. We have a trip to Las Vegas, like we do.
Right.
And we also were going to talk to Jared Leto from 30 Seconds tomorrow. It's tomorrow morning on an All New Kevin and Bean Show.